Welcome to Dread, Fright, and Brew, where your favorite horror movies are paired with craft brews and ciders from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Your hosts this evening are Aaron Hatfield, Grace Schrick, and Lee Despain. Fear goes better with beer.
Something to be said about a moment of silence while you open a beer with a wine.
I already had to peel off the wax and pop the cap.
That is true. Yeah.
And
that's a hilarious sound.
It is.
This is the sound I imagined that the guy in American Horror Story, when he wears that leather suit, that's the sound he makes getting into it.
Yep. Slathers up in some baby powder.
Like magic. So I tried. I force watched all the way through American Horror Story season one.
What
I just like made myself do it, and
did you walk away with any appreciation, or are you still?
Oh, absolutely not. It's actually worse now. I already didn't like it because I
got through the first season, and then I was like,
the story's hokey and the characters are hokey, and it's not actually scary in any way. So why are we calling it this horror story? But it had promise, like it was going somewhere. Like you find out, you know, this house has history and this house has all these spirits that live in it, and it's all kind of cool, and they're going to introduce all these different characters, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. And everything they introduced made it worse. Everything. Not one thing was a positive addition.
That's kind of like what they're doing with Channel Zero and the two stories that are going along, those two series that they've done with that too. It's like, it's got some really neat ideas and premise, but nothing scary.
Yeah.
It's really not believable in the way the actors react to the story.
Sure.
And you're just like,
I'm just apparently moving on. Not a big fan of TV horror, because like Bates Motel, I tried watching Hannibal, which I thought I was going to love because the visuals are so cool. American Horror Story is worse than
It's dookie.
Yeah, I don't know. TV horror.
Yeah.
There's possibilities there. Oh, The Mist, man. We tried watching the new Mist, and I love that movie. I thought that movie was fantastic.
Yeah.
The short story's great. But
I think you really have to get into...
We watched half of episode one. Half.
You know, miniseries in HBO or Showtime or things like that. AMC and, you know, Turner and all those others. They can't quite get the edge that kind of genre needs.
That's true, because Penny Dreadful was really, really sweet. I think the problem lies that when it's on those channels... Mm-hmm. It becomes all about the TNA.
Yeah.
Like too much to where I get taken out of it because of that.
Sure. I don't think there's a single series out there that doesn't say, okay, good, we're HBO, we're Showtime.
Yeah.
We can show
boobies. Which, you know, which there's nothing wrong with boobies.
No.
But, I don't find them that exciting. But
what?
Plebe.
Yeah.
They're not exciting when you can look in your own shirts.
I'll show you some pictures later. There's some pretty good ones.
But we've been working so hard on our own.
those are movies.
Yes. I was going to say, I'm up to like almost an A now. My trainer's getting a little snug.
Well, keep drinking those IPAs.
That's right.
I just recently discovered by going to a holistic doctor that hops... are estrogen producing.
Totally.
Yeah. Explains a lot, Grace.
And if you ate like whole cone hops, like 8 pounds a day, it would probably actually be enough to alter your physicality.
Up you a cup, man.
Yeah.
That's sure. Hey, that's the next IPA that I'm going to brew. Up you a cup.
Up you a cup.
Up a cup.
Up a cup.
That's going to be the next IPA
I brew. I like it.
The next IPA you've ever brewed one.
I brewed them in the 80s, man.
Those weren't IPAs.
When they counted.
No.
Yeah, no. He's talking about like an actual like...
I'm building a...
Indian Pale Ale.
A case of validation.
Not
though.
A Northwest IPA.
No way, man. I'm building a case of validation. The doctor says IPAs, hops, estrogen producing, give you boobs. The two brewers we talked to in California were like, we don't want to do
beers
IPAs.
For girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yep. That's what I heard.
Doesn't explain you two.
Nothing explains this anymore.
No, yeah.
There's a lot more
there's no, there's no explanation for Juan
we
and
do
I.
What we like and we like what we do.
That validates the same thing.
No.
Yes. When it's time to party.
What is that?
We'll party hard.
Shit. How long have you guys been married?
I don't know, like since 2000.
Yeah, about.
So yeah, almost 2 decades.
We prefer a domestic partnership. Is what it's
called. Botrimony.
Yeah. Brotrimony.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just made with that up. This cheeseburger.
This conversation needed to happen after all these bros. Beers were consumed.
Yeah, yeah.
With this cheeseburger, Ivy Bros.
Ivy Bros.
Ivy with this crap. Cheeseburger. Good wow. Lord.
Hells yeah. You can now exchange the onion rings. I'm in.
Okay, well, Juan won't eat onion rings, and you'll only eat the crunchy part around the onion.
That's the best part.
That's the ring.
No.
Yeah. I just want the onion ring. I don't want the onion.
And that's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
The crunchy part around the onion ring is good.
There's a bone in a steak. Yeah, exactly. You don't eat it.
You don't eat the bone.
Right. You eat the steak, take the bone, throw it in the garbage. Yeah. That's how you eat onion rings.
It's a T-bone.
Yep.
You eat the tea, not the bone.
Yep, and it's an onion ring, not onion. I don't eat onions.
I don't know. What are you taking for?
Chris is looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm deadly serious.
I know.
I rip the onion out of every onion ring.
I've seen you do it. I know. Why do you think I knew that?
Oh,
it's like corn on the cob.
Hell. What?
He eats them like corn on the cob. He's like...
He just straight up shakes the onion out of the middle.
You just break it. You break it once. You just kind of snap it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to break the onion when you break it.
Slide that fucker out like a wet condom.
And then you just pull it. Yeah. Gross. The bad thing is that if it's like overcooked or if it was up against the actual fry basket, then it actually bonds the onion inside to the edge of the ring.
Jesus Christ, we're scientific researchers. No, it's true.
But here's what
have you
do.
Not been to restaurants
when that
science?
Happens, that's, you have to identify
not
that.
Not to that level of dedication. Well, I mean, who knows this on... Well, you've
everyone's
had to have...
about to. I'm about to tell
hey,
you.
That's true. That's
you just
true.
Have to break the onion ring at that point. You break it at the weld, and then you can pull that onion right out of there.
The weld.
Throw it in the garbage where it goes.
Anyway, so let's talk about
the weld. Juan knows what I'm talking about.
I do. Oh
my God. Hey, it's our holiday special. Yay. For anybody still listening now. At all.
Right.
We've not even consumed beer yet, so.
Yeah, we're sober right now.
Yeah.
But the beer's been poured.
There has been some beer poured.
Oh, yeah, I did do that.
This is great.
So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to do here. We have come back with another holiday special, this one for our winter holidays, no matter what you guys out there celebrate. So we're going to talk about a couple different horror films that kind of mean the season for us, I guess.
Yeah.
And at least some of our favorites or things that we feel that, you know, we can't let go during the season. We have to make sure they're on our rotation of viewing. We're also going to talk about we've each picked a holiday beer that kind of gets us in the festive mood. And then we've each picked a seasonal beer, so something for the wintertime and the colder months that we really appreciate. So we're going to be talking about a whole lot of stuff and drinking a whole lot of stuff. So we might as well start off with what Grace has poured for us.
So this is my seasonal beer, and it is a Crux Tough Love. I got the new one. I don't know what I did with it. So you guys are going to have to suffer through a 2014 bottle because somehow I could find my vintage bottles, but not the current release.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
Right.
That we're going to have.
For you.
Yeah.
So I had to break into my stash. But so Tough Love, if you've never had it, go find it. And what rock are you under? Barrel-aged imperial stout done in the style of a Russian imperial stout. Super rich, dark roasted malts, rye, there's some smoked wheat, all chucked into some delightful Kentucky bourbon barrels. So big, boozy, chewy. This one has had a few years to kind of come into its own, so...
I was going
to
say, this
it's
is...
It's pretty smooth.
Fantastic. You know, there's a lot of these... beers that they put into, you know, bourbon barrels, things like that, where they take on the alcohol flavor, so you get that boozy bite and warmth, and they take on the sweetness. But this one, like, I can literally taste the bourbon in this. It's so awesome.
And a lot of that, you know, it changes over time. I know fresh Tough Love, you tend to get more of that bitterness and kind of more of that Russian imperial stout flavor. But as it ages, it smooths out. You get some more sweetness. And I think the bourbon really comes through as it gets older. Mm-hmm. This is a beer that I've been drinking for a long time. And I have had several vintage bottles over the years. It's one of my all-time favorite beers. Crux, if you don't know, is a brewery in Bend. They started in 2000. I think they actually opened in 2012. They have a really cool backstory. The building that they're in had been around since the 80s. It used to be an old mill supply place, and then it was an Amco transmission shop.
Nice.
Which you'll notice, like, in some of their older logos, they kind of...
Oh, you got the Crux hat on. I didn't even notice.
They paid homage to kind of the Amco logos and things like that. And a lot of their stuff in their actual spot is a lot of kind of reclaimed and recycled because they're really big about kind of...
That's awesome.
Paying tribute to where they came from.
Totally.
Crux was one of those breweries that started with what they could get a hold of. A lot of, like, used equipment from people in the industry, from friends in the industry. And they got a bunch of random stuff from a Japanese brewery that went under. So there was all kinds of things. It was kind of Island of Misfit Toys. But now it's one of the most beautiful breweries ever. And they make incredible beers. Nice holiday
reference. Yeah, like no that. Kidding.
Yeah.
Slip that
in. And this is definitely my favorite beer that they make. And one of my top beers of all time.
Awesome. So what makes it like a holiday pick for you?
Because the holidays for me, I mean, one, it comes out this time of year. It came out like a week ago for this year. But for me, the holidays are about big, chewy, dark beers. It's cold. I'm always cold anyway. So I like boozy beers to warm me up. And this is, let's see, sucker weighs in at 11.5% alcohol.
Yay, what a great start. So
it gives you all warm and fuzzy. Yeah. Why do we always start with my beers?
I don't know, but I'm looking at like, what do we got here? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. I'm looking
at
like...
It's best not to count bottles.
almost 15.
We almost have the 12 days of Christmas of beers in front of us. More than that.
Well,
oh, you only do the 12 days? I do 25 days.
Yeah, right. Now we're planning next year's podcast.
I'm going to start loading up my advent calendar.
That's right.
But yeah. So
oh, man, this is so super good. And like,
it's magic.
Like you said, so rich, but also like really creamy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
The nice thing is by the time you find the one that you bought this year, it'll be more of an older anniversary seasoned one.
I bought like three of them, so it's fine.
I was going to say the nice thing is that it's only a 375 bottle.
So, oh, yeah, they have since switched to 750s.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that one.
So it's actually probably good that I brought first that one, looking at the rest of this lineup. Because my other one, I think, is like 11 or 12% too.
That's awesome. Well, while we keep drinking this and finishing off this Christmas glass, we should talk about a movie. Who wants to talk about one of their Christmassy movies?
Oh, man. Put somebody up on the spot.
Well, I'll go.
I can keep talking, but I feel like I just talked a bunch.
So my first movie that I have to watch every year, and this is kind of a recent tradition to me because I was not in on this film for as long as it's been around. This is a 1997 film, and I think the first time I saw it was like mid-2000s maybe, so almost a decade after it actually came out. It's horror comedy. And
the best.
Yeah, I think for seasonals that actually helps. There's so many seasonal specific films that add in that little bit of humor because there's so many things about a holiday that you can poke fun at. Whereas, you know, how much can you poke fun at just, you know, a camp being slaughtered or a babysitter being slaughtered? Like, well, the babysitter found a lot of things, I guess. but I like the holiday ones to have a little camp sometimes and a little fun, and this one has that in spades. And my first pick is Jack Frost, which takes place in the fictional town of Snowminton, of course, right?
It's very creative.
And it's about a serial killer named Jack Frost who is being transported to his execution because he's a real bad dude. And his prison transport collides with, gosh, I don't even remember, like a toxic waste truck. And he is covered in toxic waste and his body dissolves into the snow. And through a very kind of Rankin and Bass awesome animated sequence, we see his molecules bond with the snow molecules. And he is now a snowman.
Nice. So it's like in true Tromaville fashion. like the Toxic Avenger and
totally, mm-hmm. yeah. And if anything,
so
if
Nazis must die, etc.
If anything, Troma might look at this and be like, "Yeah, you should pick up those production values just a tad."
Really? Whoa!
Jack Frost is. It is not a film you watch because you want to be wowed by the effects. It's not a film that you watch because you know it's got these great and awesome kills. Although it does have a couple.
That's part of the charm of it, though. It really is.
Right? It's. It's such a scumbag horror film. It's so lowbrow, so
if it was
terribly acted and written,
like,
and
well produced, awesome. And you know, looked like a modern film, I wouldn't like it. To be honest with you, I really love how
it needs to be this.
Yeah. Well, then you'd get the Michael Keaton version.
Yes, not to be confused with the Michael Keaton version. Yes. By the way, you will.
Which the first time you sorely told me disappointed you're doing Jack if you. Frost,
well, that's on Lee's list. That's what's on Lee's list. That's
I don't
a
remember
surprise.
It being that scary. That's my surprise. But, oh, perfect. It's you know, pretty bad, so I count maybe that as it's a scary.
Yeah, it's so bad. Jack Frost rises as a snowman, and when I say snowman, I don't mean you know a cool CGI man made out of snow, and I don't even mean. A poorly constructed, like, child school costume snowman. I mean, like, somewhere below that is the level of the snowman. It's literally, like, foam gloves with a guy's hand moving around in it, and you can see it. At times, the actor wearing the suit has a half suit on, so you can see his shorts and his legs as he moves around with a snowman half top. So it's, I'm talking, this is real, real good.
I'm selling this one.
But the death scenes are hilarious. Jack Frost as the snowman, and even before, his one-liners are hilarious. I mean, this movie was shot in 18 days, and I swear 10 of those days they were just smoking out behind the trailers. Because, honestly, it's about...
in a killer snowman movie?
That level. The funniest thing about this movie is they made a snowman movie, of course set around Christmas, in a small town that needs snow. And the winter they decided to shoot this 1997 winter, well, I guess they shot it in 96 probably to release it in 97, but that winter had record high heats and there was no snow on the ground at all. So the snow that you see is literally foam or just white puffy fabric, like off of a fabric bolt, just laid on the ground.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Awesome. I cannot recommend this movie enough for the simple... just fun and pleasure of letting loose and just laughing at the holidays, laughing that this is even a film. And also, it's Shannon Elizabeth's very first acting role from American Pie.
Dang.
And she gets murderized in a very hilarious fashion.
Yes.
In this movie.
Yeah. She's kind of cool. Elaborate on that or?
Well, we'll just say that she is.
She gets the
character. How's a good way to put this? She is non-consensually sexualized to death by a carrot nose of a snowman. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's rad. A guy gets an axe shoved down his throat handle first. That's a pretty sweet scene.
Oh, I like that.
It's just
anybody can just kill somebody with an axe.
You know,
head.
A lady gets Christmas decorated to death. So he literally shoves ornaments into her mouth and into her face and then begins to smash her face into a box of ornaments as it just shatters and fills her face with the shards. And then he wraps her up in Christmas lights and things and throws her into the Christmas tree so that she's part of the festive nature of things. It's
yeah, you've sold me.
It really has some fun kills. You know, they're not great, but they're fun. The film is also not great, but it is fun, and I absolutely adore it, and it will be watched every year from now on
in the winter season. It really does.
Doesn't it, though?
It does.
It just has all the messages of peace and love
and
rapey, serial-killing snowmen.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally.
What you need underneath your mistletoe.
It's perfect.
I love the fact that there are so many horror Christmas movies out now because... November shouldn't even exist, in my opinion. It should simply be 2 months of October.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have horror Christmas movies...
But then we wouldn't have Thanksgiving.
It helps soften the blow.
Oh, that is true.
No, good point.
That is true.
Just saying.
Maybe we'll give November like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honorary.
Because you got to go shopping.
Right.
You want Black Friday real fast, so you can go get your big screen TV
for cheap. Some good
beer,
some Black Friday, so it's all good.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, being able to... soften the blow and have some Christmas horror movies in there when everybody is faking caring about their, you know, fellow man. It's super important.
Speaking of faking it, so I just got a really bad foot cramp like a minute and a half ago, and I was like, I'm going to have to pause this podcast and roll around on the floor and cry. But it's easing up a little bit, and I've been faking it.
You know why?
But oof, it hurts.
You finish your tough love.
Oof, it hurts. That's yeah, why you that's don't why. Feel it anymore. That must be it.
Are you getting your daily allotment at McDonald's? Because that might be why.
Good. I've not had McDonald's.
Good job on faking it there, Manili.
That was pretty good. That's pretty good. I was like, can't let him see me cry. Can't let him hear me cry.
Blame it on the rain, bitch.
That's right. So that's my first movie. Grace, that beer was epic and awesome. I guess I could dive right into my beer. Because I don't mind talking and just going and going. So
what? Shocker.
I know, right? So let's talk about my winter beer. This one was super, super easy for me when we sat down to discuss these.
This is a delightful beer.
Because this was the first beer that I really came across that even was like wintry specific in theme and in style for my drinking. This is from Hopworks Urban Brewery, Hub, as we here in the Northwest refer to them mainly. And this is their Abominable Winter Ale. And it has several kind of varietals and specialty releases for it now. But honestly, this, just the original take on it, is my absolute favorite. It is extremely hoppy. Well, it is organic, and that plays into... Hopworks
does a lot of... I mean, that's what they do. They do. It's all organic, yeah.
All organic, and also they are extremely green. As far as
1% of sales.
Breweries go, what's that, 1% of sales, benefit environmental?
As long as they're not gluten-free, I'm fine.
Well, these are the guys that built a bike bar right along North Portland's almost, well, it probably is the busiest bike thoroughfare in North Portland. And they built a bike bar there where people can pull in and grab a pint. And you can also get on a bike and ride it to take money off of your pint. And it charges batteries that power the location. I don't know. They care quite a bit. They were the first B Corporation brewery in the Pacific Northwest. So they've earned so many certifications and kind of renowns for their work on staying, you know, environmentally conscious, that's pretty cool and pretty awesome. But I like this beer not for any of those reasons, but because it's just super, super hoppy.
It is.
And super, super malty. Imagine a double IPA and now push it towards barley wine. And that's where Abominable falls in my brain. It's got all that malt and caramel sweetness and four of my favorite hops in it, Cascade, Centennial, Chinook, and Simcoe. So awesome, awesome hops. No, you know, winter spices, no gimmicks, just a warm-you-up beer. Well, they say winter ale in the sense that you should drink it in the winter because it's going to warm you up. It's got that sweetness, and it's perfect to drink, you know, outside around a snowy campfire or inside at the ski lodge or while watching Jack Frost, because one snowman begets another for me. But, yeah, Hub, really awesome right here in Portland. If you guys haven't checked out their stuff, it's a little bit more accessible than a lot of the things that we talk about. So you could probably go out and find this one without too much difficulty.
Well, nice.
Especially down this time of year. I mean, this is when it comes out, and it's everywhere you go, it sells.
He's also like the most delightful Abominable Snowman.
Yeah, it looks like a combination between the Abominable Snowman and Animal from the Muppets. Bumble bounce?
It's my...
He is not Bumble.
Yeah, he's not Bumble.
He's
Bumble. You he's Abominable. Hey. No.
I'll tell you one thing. What he is actually is he's my my holy grail of tap handles. I have to get myself an Abominable.
I know I need to get one soon. Tap handle. I have a tin tack for my collection. I don't have a tap handle.
So someone owes us their movie.
I'll talk a movie.
Cool. Let's do that.
I kind of went a little international this time here because. Okay. And I kind of did this particular thing that we're doing here, kind of like we do our Christmas, you know, I'll buy myself a present or two, but then you'll be surprised by actual presence and I not know what's in them. So some of the movies and some of the beers I've never watched before or tasted before.
Cool.
So thought I'd give myself a little present, you know. And so that's kind of my approach on this one.
Means you might have got some coal.
So I might have got some lumps of coal, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's building up for something.
No, that was actually my surprise.
If you say Mickey's Christmas Carol, I'm going to... Mickey's Christmas
Carol. Hey, I actually own that.
I do, too.
Okay.
All right, I love that movie.
But it doesn't belong
here. But it's not a damn horror movie.
You are correct. We'll see if he can get through this episode with all horror movies.
I'm going to put that plea out there to the listeners that my life has been threatened, that I've been told that if I pull any shenanigans...
I didn't say I was going to kill you. I said I was going to throat punch you. Lee, there's a difference.
Yeah. I did not say such things.
That's right. Juan's always got my back. I probably
threatened a life or two.
No peanuts. No, it's a Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
No, I was threatened, everybody. Threatened, I tell you.
Yep.
So none of that. But I did go international because I love the way foreign films or international films have a completely different spin and take on, you know, something as big as Christmas or where we've Americanized in such a way. They have a completely different idea of it, a completely different tradition of it. They have a history. I mean, deep, deep histories that goes back centuries and centuries to the saints and the bishops and the churches and, you know, all of that stuff that you don't see a lot in American.
Yeah, well, and far enough back movies. To the pagan roots of it.
Yeah,
and
all that. God, yeah. So my first movie is a movie called Sint. It's 2011. It's Dutch or Saint is the movie. And it depicts Saint Nicholas basically as a murderous bishop who murders on the full moon of every December 5th. December 5th being the bishop's day, who actually fell out of favor in the churches. It must have been the Presbyterian Church at one time. And they couldn't have him, who was a patron saint of sailors and thieves and children, represent the things that he represented. So they put Jesus, baby Jesus, on as sort of the patrons
for children. 8 pounds, 6 ounces, baby Jesus?
8 pounds, mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you.
So they had to then move the day from December 5th to Christmas. So okay. There's a little bit of history going on there, which I thought was actually kind of cool. And the movies that I've picked also tend to have a little bit to do with children because, you know, for us anyway.
Oh, yeah, mine too. Yeah, check for us, totally. Kids movie.
Kids movie, totally.
Michael Keaton.
Well, and so much so that I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, but I thought, hey, you know, Christmas, it's about the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick some movies that have some...
I don't know if that's right or not. Well, Juan and I kind of looked at each other like, no.
Make no mistake. Juan and me are all still 12.
Well, that's true.
That is true.
We are man-childs.
Fair enough.
And I'm proud of it.
But as a whole, people look at Christmas as a kids' holiday.
Yep.
So I choose one where this bishop... you know, basically rises every 5th of December where there's a full moon and kidnaps children and murders them.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's kind of the movie.
Somebody's got to do it.
Say this.
Huh. Yeah. It was actually really quite good. So it was based on a more historical, like I said, image of St. Nicholas. I think I mentioned he was a patron saint of sailors and thieves, children, gift giving, that kind of thing. And fell in and out of favor historically, depending on which sort of religious empire you happen to be talking to at the time. But his day was actually December 6th. And the movie takes a twist sort of on the dark story part of history and plays on the falling out of favor parts of it and portrays him as, like I said, a bishop that kidnaps and murders children. And for retribution... for these atrocities, the villagers get together and murder him and burn him alive on his boat.
This sounds like a kid's movie. I can see this.
Right?
Yeah.
So then, of course, by that death, his spirit becomes bound with, you know, evil forces, et cetera, and he rises every December 5th when there's a full moon. So it can go, nice. You know, 10 years, it can go 40 years,
oh,
all
I see.
Throughout okay. time. And he rises and starts a murderous spree. Well, just like the Great Pumpkin Rises.
Yes, yes. Just like that.
Thanks, Mom.
That's fair.
And what it turns out to be, it's got really good dark historical kind of vibe to it, but it eventually catches up to modern times, and it just kind of becomes a good old-fashioned slasher flick.
Nice.
At that point.
See, I've never seen this.
I haven't
either.
I've
seen it around. I've seen it on different streaming services. I always see it mentioned, but I've never checked it out. So this is kind of cool because I think you're winning over the table here with this one. Because it sounds
well, yeah.
It's good to find something you've never seen that's right? kind of like, yeah. okay, well, let's...
And the bishop isn't particularly, oh, I don't know. I don't want to say iconic because he is. He has somewhat zombified look to him. More of like just creepy old, you know, pedophile cardinal. But what it was really meant for is just a new twist, new concept, but some meant for some really good old-fashioned slasher fun that I felt played really solid in the horror world of, say, Freddy or Jason as kind of that holiday villain.
That's pretty sweet. Like, yeah. they could franchise him and he could come back for, like,
they really could. I don't believe they have since 2011, but it okay. certainly would have been a pretty awesome opportunity.
That's pretty sweet.
If it was American, it probably would have been.
And it's Dutch language, so mm-hmm. subtitled and all that fun stuff. That's cool. No, I've got one of those on my list tonight. Well, I'm just saying it might have dubs. Like, one of my movies tonight is foreign language, and I could not find a dub of it. I just wanted to find one to see if I, A, could recommend it as such. And so say, you know, you can find a... It does not have a drinking game either, but we could come up with one pretty easy, I bet. But also mm-hmm. because I like being able to put on a dub or something like that, like while I'm writing notes mm-hmm. or, you know, editing a different cast or whatever and just kind of listen to it in the background. But,
yeah, so yeah. definitely check out foreign or international spins on things, man, because, like, Let the Right One In, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Such a good movie. And I actually really enjoyed our version, too.
I did, too.
But such a good movie.
Yeah, and then, we've talked about this in the past, but Wreck, you know, as well. I mean, things like that. So this was a real cool new spin to...
Oh, remember when we went and saw Brotherhood
Holiday.
Of the Wolf? That was kind of cool.
I do remember that.
And it had subtitles.
Yeah,
and...
Brotherhood of the Wolf was just off the festival circuits, and it came through downtown Portland, probably Fox Tower 10 or somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's where we
went and saw it, and it, of course, is foreign language for a lot of it. It's, I guess you would call it multilingual, but...
a lot of subtitles.
Yeah, something that we had no preconceived notion of, no... idea of what it would be like, no concept of it. I didn't know about the beast of whatever town that was at that time, you know, the history of it. But just blown away by the cinematics and theatricality of it. It was awesome. So Grace has poured another beer, and it happens to be yours. So it looks like you're talking still.
Looks like. Good thing. My throat's getting a little sore there. I need to parch it up here and unparch it. Mm. So, you know, I'm still personally coming off the high of our trip down Cali, where we did the whole Halloween haunt thing there.
Yeah.
And Grace, as the beer gremlin that she was, you know, she hooked us up on some pretty sweet beer tours. And one of them was with the folks down at the brewery in Orange County. And, man, that was a ton of fun. We got to see a lot of stuff that I don't think you normally would get to see. And we got to do a few things that I don't think you normally would have got to do, but these guys were so generous and so, so friendly.
They're amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, the fact that they showed us around, but also didn't end it there. They actually sat with us and hung out with us for hours, you know, just talking, having drinks, you know, just, it was really cool.
When you can find people that down to earth and that in touch with representing their brand and not only that, but just welcoming in fans of their brand. I mean, it was super cool.
Yeah. I think after like 3 hours, they actually were like, oh shit, well, we actually got to go back to work, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, cause there was,
for sure.
Yeah. There was just an incredible amount of natural conversation going on with these fellas. Their brewery is fantastic. It's beautiful. Their tasting room was incredible. And just their general hospitality, man, over the top.
Yeah.
We got the privilege of getting a few gifts bestowed upon us, much in the fashion that Christmas would bestow gifts upon friends. We got some amazing beers sent home with us by these fellows. And they do a series of beers that count through the 12 days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I absolutely fell in love with was their 10 Lords of Leaping.
Yes, indeed.
And it was kind of a wassail that's, of course, known for, you know, warmth and spices. And what they did with this is they took 10 different spices and brewed it into what they're calling a dark imperial wit ale. And let's see here. They've got listed. What are you shaking your head for?
It's so good.
We're looking at each other because we're all drinking.
Out of the corner of our eyes, it's just like.
Oh, it's just so good.
We had it there, and we're having it here now.
Yeah, no,
just reminiscing. We're all reminiscing.
Oh my goodness, yeah. There is a, and this happens in a lot of, you know, those kind of wit or Belgian styles for sure. But there is a like a bubblegum quality to this that I can oftentimes find off-putting. But the way it blends in this with the other grains is freaking so, so good.
Yeah, I absolutely fell in love with it. This reminds me a lot of one of my favorite, you know, Tingston's Old Peculiar. I talked with them heavily about this. This was just a lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I actually remember that. I remember us rolling eyes then, too.
Old Peculiar rears its head again.
Oh, my God. I was.
And, you know, I mean, we rib you for that, but that's a fantastic beer, too. And yes. So is this. So,
yeah. I'm going to go down the list of spices really quick here. You know, only a obviously a far more superior palate than mine could probably nail all of these, but. They put coriander, orange peel, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, allspice, mace, anise, dried apples, cloves. Mm. Yeah, it's just got a really rich, dark sort of fruited character. Super malty. Just love it. Love it, love it, love it. So,
yeah,
take a trip down to Cali. Go say hi to these folks, man. This is incredible.
Oh, for sure. And
they also have great distribution, so you can... Mm-hmm. So, 10 Lords of Leaping is the current release for that series.
Right. I've got a bottle here of the 9 Ladies Dancing that maybe we'll crack open towards the end of this.
Yeah, but. For sure.
It is something that you might be able to get depending on where you're at.
Definitely. The 9 Ladies I've never had, so I think we should...
Read the front end on that.
Description of this now, mm-hmm. And I think this is going to happen later on.
They're all very different beers, but they're all really
ale
good.
Ale with... Cocoa nibs, vanilla, coffee, and lactose. Oh, yeah. So that's kind of my jam. Yeah,
like,
we're going to have to get into that.
It's the good. Year before that was 8 Maids of Milking, and it was like a milk stout. With all
See, I had 8 Maids, but I've never had this one.
I don't remember what 7 Swans was. I think it was Belgian.
And of course, we don't start off small.
No, it's been a while.
It's a, you know, a 10.5%.
Sure.
Yep. As well it should be.
As well it should be. So,
you know, there's some amazing beers sitting on this table still to get to. So.
No kidding. So that's how I start the holidays, man.
Yeah, this is a fantastic
beer. Fell in love with that beer. You really did.
I seriously did.
I love the idea of like a wit.
Two ships passing in the night.
Yeah, we're sitting there staring longingly in each other's eyes.
Like, tell me more.
I do like the idea of such dark malts used in a wit and giving it that just little bit of, gosh, I don't even have the words to describe it, but it's that
je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
Sorry, the word. Je ne
sais quoi. Well, I do like like Sinister, for instance, that we talked about before. It's a dark beer, but it's got light notes of a Kolsch or, you know, I think it when they do
roast. That. I think that's the word I'm looking for, is it has a roasted nature, but it doesn't have the bitter that comes with that quite often. So that's why I'm finding hard to describe it.
Monkeys.
Right? Yeah. I mean, these are some of the best, but... It has a roasty quality that gives it so much character, but no bitter. It's so smooth, so awesome.
And like Grace, I like my dark beers, and I especially like them during the holiday. I can't wait till next week for the Winter Ale Fest. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
rub it in, why don't you?
What?
Can't wait for that, too.
Don't get to go?
Vegas.
Oh, that's right. You guys are going to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are crazy.
That's terrible.
International travelers and shit. That's insane.
Vegas is in the United States.
No, it's another world.
It's just a couple hours, man. All right. Who hasn't tossed? Who hasn't tossed? Who hasn't
tossed any salad yet? Why don't you do your movie and then watch
I'll do a movie. As the resident idiot here, I'm not going to get too much into it.
Well,
I do. But I take pride in it.
Yes, that's right.
And not a lot of notes, wherever that I take. But movie I'll start out with.
Tell us your feels, bro.
What I just found, and I watched it about a month ago, actually during the Halloween 31 Days of Horror, you know, or whatever, movies. And I went back and watched it again because I want to talk about it because it has a Christmas theme. And it's called A Christmas Horror Story. It was made in 2015.
Yeah. I love that movie.
It was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Gave it a watch and really enjoyed it. Got to tell you. It is... like a little anthology movie. So there's like four little, you know, small stories in the thing. Down. And
I thought about that right when you said it. I'm like, that's the word. Yeah.
It was directed by, a guy named Grant Harvey, who actually was the director of Ginger Snaps Back, actually.
All right.
Okay. Cool. Which I saw when it came out. Don't remember a lot of it. I'll have to watch it again. But and a lot of the people he worked with in this movie had ties to the other Ginger Snaps movies, either as an editor or a producer or whatnot. And so they all kind of have been in on this movie. But the first thing that stood out to me right from the beginning was there's a radio host on a talk show or a radio show called Dangerous Dan or whatever. And it's William Shatner.
Yeah.
You see the Shatner, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
So sets the tone. He starts talking about all this stuff, and it's Christmas Eve, first of all. So all these things are going on at Christmas Eve. You have what starts as a, if I'm not mistaken, there's some teenagers that are going to – they're investigating a what happened a year before. There was like a murder of – some
it's like you used the force
two classmates or whatever at a high school that were murdered, and so they're going to the basement of this high school to investigate, research, whatever, and they go in and things happen. There's spirits that are around, unleashed, you know, things start happening, and they deal with that, just not to give too much away.
Sure.
That's the premise of one story that's going on there.
And that's a good way to start something like that, too. Teenagers going into some dark places.
Yes.
That's
You get all the cliches of like that. There's some that are frisky. They're trying to, you know, do some shit.
Frisky teenagers. I know, right?
The horror. The horror.
Avant-garde, even.
That's right, yes.
And, excuse me, I had to take a sip of that beer again. And there's another story where there's a family with their kid. They're going out on a, you know, holiday tradition of let's cut down our tree to take home and, you know, whatnot. And the child, as they're cutting the tree down, he kind of, they are pulling the tree around. He's gone, separated from his parents, and they're looking for him and they can't find him. And somehow he's kind of gone. They find him in, it was weird, inside some hollowed out tree, and they bring him home. They're decorating, doing all this stuff, and something's wrong with the child. They notice things are different, and it's like he's been, like, possessed or, you know, taken on, like, the spirit of some woodland, like, demon or something like that,
so
you know,
and things are happening. Anything different about just children in general?
No.
I was about to say, the same thing happened to my mom. She took me to Costco. I got lost for a little while, and actually it was Price Club back in those days in the Bay Area. And then she found me in between a bunch of pallets of boxes of, like, televisions and things and brought me home, and I was different, and she had a little devil from then on, and here I am.
Well, I figured that's why how you were explaining why you worked in retail so long.
There is no explanation for
why. No, it was called punishment and karma.
It was actually called, oh, hey, I get to write my own schedule.
I call it doing time. Every single one of us have had that experience as children, except for Grace, because she's still a child.
All of us have had that experience.
20? Are you 21 yet?
I'm not going to be able to drink her from you.
We're going to go with I'm almost 21
because we are broadcasting this.
Let's go with that, Leland. Yep.
So, anyways,
yes,
the third of the four stories in this movie. There's a family, your typical family who just are miserable. They hate one another. They can't stand each other. You know, it's
typical family.
Yeah, right? It's, there it is. 'Tis the season. Yep. You know, they're out visiting their aunt or whatever. And the kid does something. I think he breaks something or whatnot. And so the aunt, who's not feeling well, tells them they need to leave or whatever and go. So long story short, they leave her house. Somehow they get stranded and they're walking through the forest in the winter or whatever like that. And Krampus comes along. You know,
Krampus.
We all love Krampus.
As he does.
Yes. And they have to deal with that. Then you get to my favorite part of the whole movie, which, in all these movies, the one thing I would say I would have liked better is if the segments weren't so, you know, here's a segment of this one, then it goes to another one, then another one,
It was too short.
Well, more connected also, but if there was a little bit more there, for me, they were a little too short for each one, so you're kind of missing a lot of the parts of it, but still, everything
was... Yeah, because unlike a typical anthology that tells a tale from start to finish, these ones tell a part of it, and then it goes to the different story and tells a part of that, and then goes to the other one and tells a part of that.
Yeah.
Some of them are just long enough to get you interested, and then they cut.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. If I remember it correctly, they don't start one and finish it,
No, it keeps going at least four different times or more.
I actually really enjoyed that. I thought that was very cool that I could get involved in all four stories at the same time. And then kind of have them all wrap up around the same time.
Well, I liked it, but I wanted more. I wanted each segment that they broke, I wanted it to be just a little bit longer. It was a little too quick for me at first. That's why giving it the second watch was a little bit better for me, because then I was like, okay.
Cool.
But last one has to do with Santa Claus.
It's the best.
At the North Pole, getting ready for, you know, Christmas. And he's got his elves there, ready to go. And Mrs. Claus comes in. She's got cookies for all the elves. And everyone's eating them up. You know, if we got free cookies, we're going to eat them up, too.
I'd eat the shit out of them.
Exactly. Yes, you would. And then you'd be in trouble with me.
I say that because earlier I was filling out some little online thing like you do on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it said, you know, ask your significant other these questions. And one of the questions was, what's something I say all the time? And her response was, I'd eat the shit out of that. And I was kind of proud. I was like, I would eat the shit out of that.
Fuck.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, that's back hilarious. To cookies.
That's fine. Yeah, right? So the elves are all eating the cookies. One elf is just not really having it. He doesn't want it. Mrs. Claus is being like, come on, eat the cookies.
Yeah, you know? They're shocked by that. We're like, Jingles doesn't
want
to eat
cookies. Yeah, he doesn't want the cookies, you know? Yeah. And everyone's like, those are the cookies. And then he just totally, he's trying to be cool, and all of a sudden you can tell something's wrong with him. And all of a sudden, they push it too far, and he fucking snaps and goes, I don't want the fucking cookie, basically, you know? And something goes to the hand. He's all blood squirting everywhere. Turns out he's infected with something. So long story short, the elves all turn into zombie elves.
Yes.
So Santa is sitting there dealing with the zombie elves.
Yep.
Which
ain't nobody got
through the whole movie, each section they go to, this is the one I really loved.
Oh, yeah.
He's battling these elves and he's fighting them off like Santa can do because he's Santa and he's badass.
Well, and that's the thing. This Santa is like
he is a badass.
Norse.
Yes, Nordic Santa. He is.
Viking, you know, he's
and got his, a big his, staff. By the way, I had to look up his name. George Buza, B-U-Z-A. That's the actor that plays the Santa.
Badass.
Badass.
Yeah.
Great. Loved it. So he's battling them all. Deals with all his shit there. But the final tidbit is the battle with Krampus that he starts at the end of the movie. Which I'm sitting there going, yes, this shit is going down. Santa is taking on Krampus.
Yeah. Yep.
But
and it's a sweet Krampus, too.
It is.
It's a white Krampus.
It was. Oh, yeah.
There's one particular scene where Santa takes his staff that he's been slaying elves with all day.
Oh, yes.
And cracks Krampus across the head and his...
Takes part of his...
it takes the horn
off. Yeah.
And this was beautiful. The horn spins and hits the ground. And shatters like ice.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, that was a very cool.
Basically, that's the movie up until there is a big plot twist right at the end of the movie, which I'm not going to explain.
Yeah,
not going to say. But I loved it. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that wants to check out this movie, like I said, it's on Netflix. Almost everybody has Netflix.
Yeah.
Watch this movie. It's worth the watch. And the end is just going to be like... Sometimes I can see when something's going a certain way.
Yeah.
This one kind of just surprised me where I was like, Oh, wow.
It's like, I really want to tell the ending because it's so good.
I know,
be
right?
That guy that yeah. was like,
and I think that I told about it. Tell the ending, we're back to throat punching.
But I do I do think that the ending for me, the ending is what really sealed the movie as far as one that I love.
I'll eat the shit out of that.
That sealed
I'll throat punch you.
yeah, what's your
Don't dick punch me because we already know.
Well, she will.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
I think that's what's so cool about this anthology is it is... Broken up
Dick
story.
Punch Campbell.
Yeah, it has a twist actually on each ending story.
Actually, yes. And it does. Yes,
yeah,
it does.
Which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And the Krampus Santa Claus one is the best of all.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and William Shatner pops up in between each one
yes.
of these
yeah.
with some really good non-Shatner-esque kind of dialogue.
Oh yeah,
and there's things in what he says that hints towards. Some of these twist endings.
It was
absolutely.
It was kind of like a Rod Serling sort of thing, where he was almost mm-hmm. like a host mm-hmm. of this, more than just kind of filler in between the segments. And I liked that. I thought that was cool, or more than Rod Serling, even like Night Gallery. If you remember Night Gallery,
mm-hmm. I do.
Where that guy came out and kind of introduced each thing and gave you a few hints. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was a super.
And we've had some good. Well,
and the fact that he did a movie like this, I mean, Shatner's Shatner. You know, he's been in some bigger movies. You know, all different genres of movies actually. But he's actually funny in a lot of the stuff he does. I mean, great comedy.
Yeah, when you insert the Shat as a comedian,
yes.
it's pretty cool. Well, Boston Legal was one that I really enjoyed.
That's what I was going to say. People think, you know, William Shatner, Star Trek, William Shatner. You know, if you go far enough, you know, TJ Hooker or whatever. I always have associated him with Boston Legal because I thought that's where he found his stride, and he was able to stop playing a caricature of himself
mm-hmm.
at the same time he was able to start playing a character.
Well, I think
of himself.
Yes, and what I mean by that is Denny Crane.
He stopped acting the way he thought he needed to act because that's how he acted, and he started acting. Like a parody of that old self. And I thought that was just fantastic.
Part of the testament to him is that the fact that you can break away into some other like iconic characters because you are like the iconic Captain Kirk. I mean, the fact that he got out of that because everyone, you know, who wasn't familiar with him was just like, okay, even if you don't like Star Trek, you know William Shatner and Captain Kirk. But he was able to go into, like I said, Boston Legal, which was an amazing show.
T.J. Hooker.
Yeah. T.J. Hooker.
Kingdom of Spiders.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
One.
Yes, he was. And I am not watching that movie ever again. Traumatized me as a kid.
Do you not like spiders? What?
Shut your whore mouth. Mm. Shut it right now.
Shut it
so
right
at,
now.
At Fright Town this year, there was an awesome spider. That was a Fright Town, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was. There was an awesome spider that.
It was.
Oh, yeah, that was Fright Town.
That came out of kind of a little cube in front of you and, you know, it was animatronic and would respond to motion sensors or whatever it was, pressure sensors. And so I always made sure to be ahead of Juan and slow down just enough that he couldn't get by and kind of wiggle myself into.
So right now I'm trying to channel my inner Beetlejuice
and
do that part where. He throws his fucking arm and puts the metal part about his mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
that's what I'm trying to in my mind. Like,
it's not going to happen.
Well, didn't you also continue that on with the old Harry Potter ride? And isn't there like
fuck
a scene?
That shit.
Okay, that I had forgotten that too. I'd only been on the Harry Potter ride a couple times or maybe even once last year when we first went.
I'm not a fan of spiders either,
I was
bro.
Traumatized.
But I swear to God, like 50% of that ride, we're talking about the Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios, like 50% of that ride is... freaking giant spiders. And I honestly completely forgot.
Doubt it.
Juan was all excited. We wanted to go on it. We jumped on that thing. It was so great. You know, we skipped like almost all the line. We had no wait. It was so good. And literally like a minute into it, I'm like, oh no. At the same time, I was like, oh yes. Because it was just spiders
that.
And spiders.
That. That's right.
And there was, you were supposed to get scared.
There was a spider that popped out that like shoots water at you. You know, like it's venom or it's web or whatever the heck. But it went
the money shot
right in homeboy's mouth. Might as well, which I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
But it was really funny for me. Really funny. So we get off the ride and I'm like, hey, do you like that? Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, it's pretty great.
That's great.
Wow.
Even better, because I had forgotten too, so I was surprised and got to enjoy the entire awkward experience of one crapping himself.
I don't even know how you get through haunted houses anymore, because every single haunted house has a little threads that hang down in the dark, and they feel
Those are perfectly creepy, like spider webs.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's light fishing line or what.
And I don't know how you get through, like, you know, any night, because, you know, every bed has spiders in it. At least one or two.
No,
there's not a single spider that can get next to this guy, because I have heard his snoring, and it's like that sonic wave, that little bubble of sonic impenetrableness that nothing can get through.
I can see that.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a self-defense mechanism.
It's spider defense.
Oh, God, I've never heard anything like that in my life.
Oh, man. I hope you have nightmares.
Dude, I'm totally with you. I love that movie. It's an awesome movie.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
Yeah.
So it's a new movie, like I said, about 2 years old, but it's on my list now where I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's every my new fave, too.
Let's start drinking something while Grace tells us about one of her movies.
We're going to run out of beers. What
the fuck just came out of your mouth?
Yeah, because of our
propaganda.
Because of our obsession with bringing extra beers to the table, even though we, you know, oh, why don't you bring one and I'll bring one, and then we wind up with 12.
None of those can count.
Yeah.
No.
I think we'll be just fine.
You want to talk about this beer?
Before we talk about that, let's hear your movie.
Yeah, let's hear your movie first.
I want to hear your movie. Yes. Yeah.
Don't break the...
Well, then give me your glasses. So one of my movies I actually discovered when I was researching for this podcast, because I was trying to think of Christmas horror movies.
Thank you.
And I came across something that looked...
Here's a list I made.
Epically ridiculous. And totally my style.
Huge.
And I was right. I watched it and freaking loved it. And it's called Ginger Dead Man.
Oh,
I've not seen that.
I have not either.
Do you love Gary embarrassed Busey? Saying that.
Shut up.
Oh, hell yes.
The Busey is in this movie.
Most of the movie, he's just a voice.
Get ready to be
abused. But he's in it. So.
Shit. About to be abused.
It starts out okay. So first of all, don't watch this movie and think it's going to be anything serious. It is the most ridiculous piece of crap ever, and it's delightful.
Yeah, I think it might be a couple levels lower than even the Jack Frost.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it's just a step above Thanksgiving.
That
just because it's not a stupid movie, but it's close.
You can find it on Hulu. You can also find Ginger Dead Man 2 and 3. There's also an Evil Bong series.
For all the stoners out there,
and there's a Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong, which I have not watched yet.
Holy fuck.
But you bet your ass I'm going to, because versus movies are my jam. If it can, like, rival, like, Terracuda versus
Shark. Maybe this will get her away from the Shark movies for once.
No, it will not. No.
Oh, you wait till Shark Week, and we're going to have a special. Just for Grace.
I'm going to do an entire Shark Week special. We don't need to go there yet. But, so Ginger Dead Man.
And there's a beer you can do, too, with it.
I have, like, 8 shark beers. Rookie?
That's uncalled for.
8?
All this is a promise of episodes to come. So, I'm sure.
You challenge me to a shark episode. You'll lose. So, Ginger the movie Dead opens up with Gary Busey shooting people. Because he's a mass murderer. He's bad.
Shocker. Every time we start talking about one of these movies, I keep coming back to how Lee tried to start this by saying, yeah, Christmas is really about the kids. And I'm starting to realize how easy it is to make these horror movies at Christmas, which is basically just kill some kids, lose some kids, okay, eat some kids, boil some kids, or shoot some people.
We can tie this
kids kill kids.
So, sure, he's in a diner, and he kills some people. He happens to kill a brother.
Okay.
And a dad, and wound the sister.
Hmm.
He lets her live. He doesn't really want to shoot her. Probably because she's pretty. I don't know. Maybe he just only likes shooting dudes.
Goes a long way.
Not really sure. I didn't really read into it too far, because this was like 5 seconds into the movie, and people are dropping like flies. You're like, all right, whatever. So, because he's real bad, he gets put on death row, and he gets eventually electrocuted.
Okay.
A little electric chair situation. And then he is cremated, and his ashes are sent off to his vengeful mother.
See where this is going.
Yeah. Fast forward to daughter who survives and her drunk-ass mother, who's always rocking some JD through the whole movie. They run a bakery.
Okay.
That's struggling.
But of course.
Because they lost their father, they lost their brother. Sure. There's a new, like, Enterprise, like, new chain restaurant, whatever, opening across the street with this shenanigans douchey dude running it, and his, oh god, what was his daughter called? His daughter, who was Miss Pretty Face of Waco.
That's her title, Miss Pretty Face?
Oh yeah, that's how she refers to herself. It's delightful. This movie is so bad. It is so bad. It's amazing.
Did they take it to the whole obvious level? Is Gary Busey a redhead as well?
No.
Oh,
we're getting to it. So Gary Busey gets burned. He dies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ashes.
Electrocuted. Ashes. Nope. Mama's Bakery. Real mad about that. So she takes his ashes and she adds a little gingerbread spice and she ships them off to the bakery.
Oh, fuck.
Because Mama's twisted.
But of course.
So, of course, naturally they bake some shit with this. And so the main character, the daughter, is mixing it all up. Her name's Sarah. Well, one of her dingbat employees, Bricks, that was his name, because that's a normal name.
He is a D-bag, too.
No, he wasn't the douchey one. Bricks was just the idiot. Okay. Bricks was the guy who wanted to be like a pro wrestler wearing spandex. So,
I don't this movie has complexity. It has character development.
Character development is fantastic.
We have found Bricks, our ogre of the evening.
Bricks was so doing some dumb shit.
So many layers.
Like, slit his wrist accidentally with a box knife and bled into the gingerbread ash mess.
Okay, fair enough.
Which, of course, triggered the shenanigans reaction of Gary Busey's murderous soul going into said dough.
I'm still like twice as on board with this as I am by the way, with the mangler.
Yep. Him coming to life haunted that
linen press.
Hey. I believe a lot more than Freddy Krueger coming back to life when a dog pisses on his bones.
Oh, no.
Shut your horrible mouth.
No, that's based in legend, my friend.
No.
That's hell how
talk shit about Freddy. Right there. You're sleeping outside.
The dog pissed on his bones.
Shh. Adults are talking.
Wait, where?
Yeah. Oh, no. Right. Somewhere they are.
We've established we're close.
Sarah decides to make a 12-inch, like, gigantic gingerbread man. Because why the hell not? It's Christmas time.
Could've gingerbread man. Yeah.
I know. There's so many.
She makes the gingerbread man, and she bakes him. Well, of course, like, shit gets burned, and the oven blows up, and then electricity goes into the oven.
It's like an awesome
idea. Same way murderer man died, so that, of course, initiated the rest of the process. Yeah, it's totally like Shocker. Yeah. All these other shit-tastic movies rolled into one. So, Gingerbread Man comes to life as the creepiest, most horrible CG shit storm you've ever seen.
The Sci-Fi
like
Channel
he has
original.
This, like, creepy little scrunch face. Oh, it's horrible. Like, just Google a picture of him. And
sure.
Oh, I'm going to do
that's
that.
That's right what made now. Me watch it. Right I Googled now. It, and I was like, yes, I'm watching this.
But it's only 12 inches tall.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. He's a little fucker.
I don't know, 12 inches? 12 inches
it's
isn't
not
really
about the
enough.
Size of Elite. It's not the magic. The
he's not satisfied with only 12 inches.
Apparently.
He clearly wants more.
Hey, would you be?
Well, we're not talking
he's
about
me. He's pretty fluffy.
It's about the girth. It's like a
that's right
dwarven penis. It's like a
how much did that gingerbread
can.
Rise while he was in there? That's
what 32 we inch crawler, 32 ounce crawler.
Anyway,
and the
so
beer
he comes to life, and naturally,
or a PBR
and he
tall
starts
boy.
Murdering people.
Well, naturally, if
he's
I was an
Gary Busey murderer man in
resurrected
a gingerbread
bloody
body,
gingerbread, yeah.
So he starts chopping up fingers, he murders all kinds of people, he fucks up Miss Pretty Face's pretty face.
Oh no!
Like, the characters are atrocious. Did you look it up?
Holy wait, fuck!
Wasn't he the one that had the line?
Look at this fucking thing!
Was it the movie that had the line, hey, you want some lady fingers?
Yes,
okay,
so that's what I'm getting to.
Okay, good.
So, the best part about this movie is through the whole thing. He has these Freddy Krueger-esque one-liners, which are my jam. Like, he's pretty much the Pillsbury Doughboy from Hell, which at one point he's actually referred to as the Killsbury Doughboy.
Oh, sweet.
And he's like, how's this for some lady fingers? And totally chops off a lady's fingers.
Oh, my God.
Like, awesome. This movie is my jam.
I can't believe you just brought that up because this picture came up that looks like a DC comic. Number one ginger dead man, and it's him standing there, bloody, with a knife. And look where he's got the lady finger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He's stuck it in his private area, and he's like, now who wants to fuck with the gingerbread man?
He's a creepy, dirty...
It's a fucking comic book.
I'm thinking you could do a Ginger Dead Man, Jack Frost, little
that would
crossover.
Oh, all right. I'm down.
So far, we've got, you know, a carrot where the sun, you know...
Don't shine.
Yeah. And...
I don't remember him sticking the finger in his...
Well, this is just a comic book.
It's fan art.
Yeah. Don't get too excited. Yeah, right. I don't think he actually does that.
According to this,
it's a DC fiction of Jack Frost and the Ginger Dead Man.
Wow.
But yeah, so basically the rest of the movie is just Gingerbread Man trying to murder everyone and them trying to fight a magical, possessed gingerbread man.
Which sounds like enough.
I think we've had so much fun with this movie.
It's only like an hour and 10 minutes long.
I'm already a fan.
I watched part of it with her. It was
wasting an hour and 10 minutes of your life.
Hour and 10 minutes.
Couple beers.
Done.
It's hilarious.
This sounds like one of those movies.
I have not watched the sequels yet, but I'm going to.
And they have these movies, and often I like them, where they come up with the name of the movie or an idea of the movie. Like, oh yeah, Gingerbread Man sounds like Ginger Dead Man. Oh, we should write a movie about that. And you just work backwards to write any bullshit until it works. And sometimes that works out really well.
The characters are horrible. The acting is worse. The special effects are atrocious.
I just remember seeing the DVD cover with the little gingerbread dude on the thing.
Yeah,
and I saw
times.
Gary Busey on the top, and I'm like, yeah. I never watched it, never rented it, never did whatever, but I just remember seeing it and Gary Busey's name on there. I'm like, well, that's got to be a shit show.
Hopefully we've planned this episode so that it will release in enough time that people can get out there and watch these things.
So this was on Hulu.
It's all fun.
I'm planning
fun.
This was on Hulu.
This is on Hulu. All of them are on Hulu.
So is the whole Evil Bong series and the Versus movie. So
okay.
You bet your ass I'm going
to
watch all
three of my picks tonight happen to be available on Shudder. Which, if you have the Shudder service, or if you have Amazon Prime, I know you get some of Shudder for free when you sign up for it. But I pay the $5 because it's $5 for Shudder.
$5 for Shudder.
$5 a month.
Oh, nice.
And they are expanding like crazy. Barbara Crampton just went on there, and she's one of the guest. I forget what they call it, but they have guests come on and then pick like 5 movies or so that they recommend for you. But yeah, all 3 of mine tonight are on Shudder, so I highly recommend you find that too.
But yeah, so Ginger Dead Man, 2005. It was not rated because nobody who actually can give ratings gave a shit. Probably, but...
It is beyond ratings.
Even though Christmas is about kids. Not for kids.
Well, Jack Frost is rocking a solid 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
I didn't look it up on Rotten Tomatoes, but I'd be interested to see.
Yeah.
Grace, you haven't seen it. You need to watch Jack Frost. It is.
I know.
Yeah, if you like the Ginger Dead.
Yes.
And vice Jack versa. Frost. It sounds like I'm going to love the Ginger Dead.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We're going to have a marathon.
Dude, let's do this.
Shit, we need to have a... It's going to be delightful.
Let's watch it.
We've
drink
got
beers
Christmas
again.
Party. Left. Yeah.
Christmas party.
So we are drinking another beer.
Yes.
And are we into Christmas beers now?
No, we're on Juan's Winter.
Yes, we're on Winter.
Juan's Winter.
Okay.
But at least
so my done. Winter beer, and I'm not the beer gremlin, obviously. So, but I have chosen for my winter beer as Crux Snow Cave, and I love this beer. I forget where I was when I had it the first time. It was
on draft somewhere. Because
draft somewhere.
I don't
know
that they bottled this before this year.
No, but it might have been at Valley Growlers. Who knows? I love this beer. It is one of my favorite winter beers of all time, but I love Crux Fermentation Project also. We had the pleasure of getting to go to Bend finally earlier this year, and Crux, we went several times. I mean, it was an amazing place.
I remember some of those times we went.
Yeah. Now the beer is it comes in at 8%, so you pretty good amount of ABV
fair.
On there, you know, but Crux is, like Grace had mentioned earlier in the show, just a great idea of, you know, Larry Sidor, you know, opening his own brewery, came over from Deschutes where he worked for, 8 years or so, and he decided he wanted to do his own thing, and they took over that building, built their stuff up, and has a great following, I would say, especially here in Oregon. But
Yeah, one thing I didn't mention about them is they are brewer owned and operated. Yes. Always have been, yep. And
nice.
To my knowledge, probably always will mm-hmm. be.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Kind of a cool fun fact.
And also, shout out if you ever get over there. I'm not a big street taco fan.
Oh, whatever, dear God.
But El Sancho is right out there.
You can get a Oaxaca cheese taco. They fry a chunk of cheese and put it in a taco.
If I'm going to get a street taco, get it from there. It is amazing. It is.
They are the greatest tacos.
Oh, I'll give her that. It is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a street taco.
Have you had the Cool Ranch from the Taco Bell?
I will punch you in the face.
No. Regular nacho cheese, dude. No. Cool Ranch. What are you talking about?
I like the Cool Ranch chips. Ew. I don't eat those tacos, though. You just swallow a salt shaker to be exactly the same.
But at least you go with the nacho cheese. You don't go with the Cool Ranch.
El Sancho?
I don't do either one.
I would put it up against any taco in Oregon, and it would win. I'm throwing down. El Sancho is okay. The god of Oregon tacos. I'm not saying any taco on the planet because I'm not an idiot.
It was just funny to me.
Freaking godlike.
I will put this taco against any taco in the least taco-ish state in the country.
Tacos in Oregon.
There are. And that's only because of our obsession with
food. Yeah, hang out with Joey too much. You guys and your street tacos.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're a taco mecca. Enough to be like,
we prefer burrito. We prefer burrito anyway. So
they're amazing
you
tacos.
Get
more for your.
But you guys are dumb, and not that I hate on Taco Bell because I get real drunk and go to Taco Bell.
We're not even talking about Taco Bell.
I don't know. You had me. But you guys are dumb. That's absolutely
only
correct.
Exactly.
Eat at Taco Bell.
No, absolutely not true. No. We just want a burrito.
What's the name of the place over by Beer Mongers?
No, yeah, in Apex. Los Gorditas.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat four of those motherfuckers.
They have vegan burritos and tacos. There's
a bunch of vegan options there, too.
Don't ruin this podcast.
Wow. He hadn't talked for a little while, and things were going so well.
That one's for you, Rose.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so sorry. Juan, continue talking about your beer. I got derailed because the tacos are magical.
It's a darn good beer.
I want a damn taco.
Let's get some tacos. It was a winter ale. I like it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Fair enough. I like it.
You had a crux at the beginning, but definitely if you...
So basically this one thing to know, it is... Mm-hmm. It's got a little Belgian spin. It's a Belgian yeast strain. So you definitely get that Belgian yeast character.
But not overpowering.
You get some spice, but it's not a
good spice. Yeah, because I'm not a huge Belgian beer guy either. So.
Yeah, super approachable, really tasty beer.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Great. It's quite good.
And check them out if you've never drank anything from Crux. All their beers are solid beers anyways. But check it out. But for the wintertime, get this beer. Get the Tough Love, especially.
Oh, God.
Okay. So good.
Have we all tossed out our winter beers?
We've gotten our winter beers, and we've all done our first round of movies. So we're on to second round of movies.
Yeah, let's do some more stuffs.
And we'll just keep rocking beers out in between.
Let's get a beer going, so I don't know which beer we're going to do.
I was talking, I didn't hear. Yeah.
I finished my beer, so why don't I jump into my next movie while we get a beer going. So my next film... I decided to also go worldly.
Wonderful.
Ooh. Yes. Ooh. I really enjoy this movie. Like, there's some films that you watch that, you know, you like or you know or are comfortable to you, but then there's other ones that just kind of hit you in that happy place that takes you back to, like, childhood and things like that. You know, it
gives
you
with the
that.
Children, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this one is all about... children. With a great child lead, actually. This is from Finland, which is also where Sinterklaas is kind of getting kicked off, which I think I've just mixed two different cultures there, but I don't even care. This is from 2010.
Because you would eat the shit out of that.
That's right. And it is Rare Exports. And Rare Exports, like I said, is a Finnish film. It is as much fairy tale or fantasy, I guess you could say, as it is horror, much in the same way as one of my favorite directors, Guillermo del Toro, makes his movies. It has that vibe to me, that magical, youthful storytelling kind of vibe.
I have been wanting to see this for a while.
It loses its way a little bit at the end. Honestly, it does. But not enough so that it turns me off in any way. It's a great, great movie. I watched it again just the other night. And this is about some people that make their living in a very small little village in the cold mountainous areas of Finland, who basically hunt and trap and sell the meat and the wow. skins and such from reindeer. So, I mean, this is a very just kind of hands-on, blue-collar little community and very little community. And a large, I don't know if it's English or British or who they're trying to represent here, but a large corporation moves in on a mountain next to their land. And this corporation is led by a guy that has a very peculiar obsession. And that obsession is to find the burial ground of Santa Claus. And
what? Santa yes. Claus wow. ain't dead?
Well, I'm just telling you, in this one...
This is a children's show, Aaron. He did.
Hey, Finland came up with the dude, so yeah. they can you kill know, the dude.
Anybody owns Santa Claus? Exactly. Yeah. Finland owns yeah. Santa Claus. Yeah.
So Kris Kringle is not Finnish.
So the way this starts off is there is a
he puts one foot
kind of a dig, an excavation, and this company unearths, I guess you would say, Santa. And is a little bit surprised.
How lucky are they?
At the results. And
they beat the shit out of that.
That's right. And again, there's a couple twists. There's some back and forth. There's some misdirection. Mm. But the basic gist of it is that there are some kids that are in the know on what's going on and a bunch of adults that aren't. And
damn meddling kids.
Right. And these kids are obsessed with the fact that Santa is coming to get them and that he is not jolly and he's not jovial and he is there to do them grievous harm. And they're trying to convince the adults of this. The adults eventually are kind of brought into the loop on the horrors that are taking place. I'm really trying not to step on the toes of any of the kind of like little fun twists and surprises of this film. But once that happens,
yeah, don't
the adults
Christmas, man.
Do what adults do, and they turn this into a money-making opportunity, and they try to capture themselves a Santa Claus
oh, Jesus.
And sell him back to the company that was looking for him in the first place.
I'd sell Santa to buy beer.
It's very, very interesting.
What the fuck did she just say?
She'd sell Santa to buy beer.
Fucking hell.
See, I would do the opposite. I would just kidnap Santa and then make him pull
You'd
beer out of his sack.
You would ransom him, though.
I don't want to deal with Santa's sack at all.
Oh, Santa's
beer. It's probably old it's got, and wrinkly and nope.
I'm sure it is, but if beer comes out of it.
You sell him for dub-dubs.
I would.
Yeah. 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 Christmas tree on Christmas
anyway, sorry,
Day.
Yeah.
Aaron, I want to applaud you.
I'd eat the shit out of that.
I would eat the shit out of that. Seriously. Dub-dubs under the Christmas tree.
Dub-dub under Santa's sack.
Double-doubles from In-N-Out is what we speak of. Dub-dubs.
I want to applaud you, Aaron. You were on a roll. You were doing good. Yeah. You worked through your first roll of shenanigan laughters over here.
Sure.
You were
just staying on track. Yeah. Quiet. You had to check what it was.
Yeah. You didn't say Zaps chips.
And Zaps chips. But we eventually got you. So please continue.
That that's really about as far into it as I want to go. We have an.
And what year did that come out?
We have the appearance 2010.
Okay.
We have the appearance of an army of elves that is very unlike any you have seen before, I guarantee you. We have a Santa Claus that is on a scale of never before seen proportions.
Really?
But mainly what we have is we have a movie that is very Del Toro like. It's very kind of mythical and mystical and fantasy based, all through the eyes of this young child who's lost his mother, single dad, things are bad for him. He's picked on, he's bullied, he's the runt of the litter, so to speak. And he has to kind of rise to the occasion and convince everybody that something terrible is going on with this Santa Claus. And it's, like I said, it's a very, very awesome movie. It does lose its way a little bit at the end. There's some CG stuff that occurs in this film that leaves you going, wow.
Is it
that's bad.
In a foreign language or is there subtitles?
It is subtitled.
Okay.
It has English in it because you have this English-speaking corporation that keeps showing up. So their scenes are in English. But for the most part, it's in,
time to get caught up right
it's
there.
In Finnish. But really awesome. It's lighthearted. At the same time, it's fairly dark. But most of all, it's just a kid adventure tale. So if you're watching The Goonies, if you're watching The Stranger Things, if you know you're watching The Stand By Me's and all those kind of things. You're going to like this just because it is very much an adventure of this kid that is just kind of up against insurmountable odds, and it's pretty awesome. But yeah, Rare Exports, based off of a short film.
Side note, what's that short movie you had me watch at one time with the Christmas tree that you and Deanne had me watch, and we were all just laughing
because seen
it? What was it called?
That is...
Tree that, like, eats people or something?
Yeah, oh, give me a second.
Did you watch it?
It's Treevenge.
Treevenge.
Yes!
Treevenge, that's right.
Oh. Also on YouTube, and also very... deadly to children.
It is It is noteworthy that...
Very small.
Treevenge was hilarious. Children.
It's noteworthy that there is a
honorable mention.
Vicious Christmas tree that spins and cuts through apartment complexes in one of the Doctor Who Christmas specials.
Well, you got to bring Doctor Who into shit.
Yeah.
I did.
So beer.
I did.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's what we're doing.
I'm fine with that.
Well,
fine with
I want to take watch some beer over there.
It's super good.
Very interesting. Sounds great.
The short film is also called Rare Exports. So you know, guys, check that out first. It's not going to give away anything really about the movie that you need
check
to worry
out
about.
Foreign films. Troll Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Troll Hunter's on Netflix, too.
Yep. For crying out loud. I had two others that were on the top of my head. Damn it, I can't remember them now.
Well, like Dead Snow.
Dead Snow, Snowpiercer.
Yeah. Did you ever see
Train
the second
to
one?
Boss?
Train to Busan.
Busan, yeah. Thank you. Fucking
Aaron
great.
And I watched that. It was...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I saw The Devil.
I was trying to make so many good ones. School weird stuff, too.
Yeah.
All right, beer.
Yeah, beer. What did you pour us? This is amazing.
Don't restrict yourself. Read some subtitles. Get out there and do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Reading's hard.
Yeah, what are we drinking?
I'm getting everybody drunk again.
So is this your Christmas beer
this
then?
This is my Christmas beer.
All right, let's do it.
This is one of my favorite
She's
Christmas beers of all time.
Clinching it and, yeah.
It cradling. Because you cradle and caress. That's what you do.
You have to warm this
Sometimes
one
you swaddle if you have a sweatshirt with it.
That's right.
Wow. Anyway.
She did.
With the growler of Don Vanucci from Barney Brown. Yes. The
growler of
Don
Vanucci.
Swaddled the shit out of that thing.
Yep.
I have the photos to prove it.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do with a growler of Don Vanucci?
You're going to swaddle it.
I also did that.
If you would have done that, that would have been hilarious.
I drank a lot of it all by myself. It was real bad. Anyway, we don't need to talk about my drinking problem.
Focus.
This is one of my favorite Christmas beers of all time. This is the 2017, so no vintage on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I drank a lot of them last year because I did a vertical on Christmas Eve. This is Block 15's Figgy Pudding.
Oh.
This is my magical happy Christmas beer.
Nice.
So Figgy Pudding, if you've never had it, is an English-style old ale aged in brandy barrels with spices.
Got the old ale in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
See?
That's why you love it. Stuff.
That's why you looked at me when you handed this over.
I know.
That's
like,
why
you're
his is
gonna
almost
actually
empty
like
and the rest of us are just starting to crowd.
So it's brewed with blackstrap molasses and has all kinds of fun spices. Mm. It's everything that a Christmas beer needs to be in one beer.
Mm.
And even like the 2017, it's super smooth. It drinks amazingly well for being a 10% alcohol. Like it doesn't taste like it. But as they age, they sweeten up, they get more complex, the alcohol flavors fall off, they become sneakier.
Yeah.
I've done, again, on this one, I've done multiple year verticals because this is one of my favorite beers.
Yeah, I got to tell you, we better hurry up. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to talk about my next movie.
There's like some trees and shit.
We probably already sound like that, we just don't know it.
I know. Yeah.
I got this. This is from Block 15.
Great episode.
They're out of Corvallis. They've been rocking out amazing beers since 2008.
Yes, they have.
Yes, they have.
Sticky hands. Sticky hands.
Oh, sticky.
Yeah.
I will fight anyone, but it is
He's
one
right
of the
there.
Greatest IPAs on the planet.
Perhaps even throat punch them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But they also have this incredible barrel program. They do really cool sours. They do stuff like Figgy. They do all kinds of barrel-aged stouts. They do everything.
Yeah.
Well, wow. A lot of
so that's our first
amazing
Christmas
beers
beer.
And Christmas movies
yeah.
so
but yeah,
far.
So welcome to Christmas.
So
this is how I celebrate Christmas.
Who's got a film they want to yap about?
I can keep rolling.
Rock it.
So my next film is Krampus. Yes. 2015... Krampus came out, and I was super stoked because I've always loved the
nice shirt.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, I'm rocking a Krampus shirt from Horror Nights a year ago. Because they did the Krampus Maze, which was delightful.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I've always loved the whole idea of Krampus.
Because he whips kids with twigs?
Yes. Yeah.
So, folklore, Krampus is a horned figure, kind of described as like a half-goat, half-demon. And during the Christmas season, he punishes children who have misbehaved. So basically, he is the counterpart to St. Nicholas, who rewards all these good little boys and girls. Krampus is like, you little shits, come here, I'm going to beat you with a switch.
Why do we not see Krampus? Because we misbehave all year.
Because you're not actually children.
So Krampus is like Santa's brother that lives in a trailer park.
Wow. I won't be whipped, but...
But, right, like, historically, pre-Germanic paganism in region
came from. Now I might do the stanky leg, right? Yes. Stanky leg.
Really?
Lee started it.
A little side thing over here.
He did, trust me.
Sorry. The name originates from German Krampen, which means claw. But, yeah, and also some legends say that he... was the son of the Norse god of the underworld.
That's why you like him.
I dig that.
So, like, he's all sorts of evil. There's all kinds of crazy folklore and historical references to him. And basically, Krampus is this badass who deals with the naughty little shits of the world.
And we're going to get our picture taken with him this year. So,
the movie Krampus in 2015 focuses around one particularly dysfunctional family. Does not enjoy... hanging out with each other on Christmas. And there's... the main story focuses on Max. This kid who he's probably like... I don't know, 10? 9 or 10, somewhere in there.
Sure.
I don't know how... I'm bad at guessing.
He's whipping age.
He's whipping age. Yeah. He's still like, Christmas is magical.
Pull your twig and I'll hit you with it.
Just saying. Krampus.
Krampus ain't gonna whip like some 19-year-old punching back in the horns.
No.
Well, his family sucks and screws it up. So then he gets all grumpy and hates Christmas. And he loses his Christmas spirit, which invites in the horrors of Krampus. So he basically just feeds off of that lack of Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Stay positive, kids.
And makes their life a living hell.
Peace and joy.
He takes all the fun, cool things about Christmas time, like gingerbread men. I like these movies where gingerbread men kill people. And possesses them, basically. And they turn into little shits and start killing the family. There's like a jack-in-the-box that goes crazy. There's creepy dollies. There's the gingerbread men. But basically all the like happy little things about Christmas. Shitstorm. And it's delightful. It's really well done. I like it. There were a lot of people that hated it. But I thought it was a really cool take.
I think it's fantastic.
I think it's fantastic, too.
Yeah. I think it's an amazing movie.
I think it's like Gremlins meets National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Meets almost Stranger Things, where there's like a world inside and a world outside. Like, that's the vibe.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Also, directed by the same directors that did Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Is it really
with Sam? Yep. Same guy.
Yeah. Oh, so and they even tie in the two worlds a little bit very subtly.
Basically, there are rules with some to candies Christmas
that appear in both films. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not the type of movie I expected. I expected something serious. So when it started taking a touch of a lighthearted tone,
I did too,
because like,
the trailers made it very horror. Very just.
No, it's got some humor to it.
It's really funny. Yeah.
Like, it cracked me up. But it's totally worth watching.
I just love the character Krampus. That is a
he's a
badass.
Yeah. He's and it can be explored dude in this too.
In more and more movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, his character in this film I thought was really awesome. And the other character in this film I liked a lot was Grandma.
Yes,
Grandma
is from the old world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she knew the rules,
and she has had a previous experience that kind of tied into
she's
the
Krampus
survivor, and she's that I thought gave survivor. The film a little bit of depth outside of just like stupid family fucks up and gets murdered by a ancient demon, which we've heard a million times.
Yeah.
Come on,
but it's a really cool movie, and it's totally my Christmas jam.
Nice,
it's good times.
I do love it.
So drink some figgy pudding and watch some Krampus.
A figgy pudding was
super good.
Actually, maybe don't drink figgy pudding before watching Krampus because you might not actually stay awake during Krampus.
Fall asleep halfway through. You know, this is a pretty impressive thing that we do for our audience here. you know, suffering through all of these beers right? at these
ABV
levels and still trying to coherently put together a program.
Being an artist, yeah. I know what it means to sacrifice for your craft, man.
I'm just glad we only have to make it two blocks for us to get home from your place.
We have to fall out of the chair right here. And
I know, that's even better.
I'll wake up with the dog tomorrow, and that's fine.
But when we dig our tunnel between the two places,
we're fine.
Yes.
We don't scoff at what we've
No way, planned. Man. I'm envisioning Hogan's Heroes.
I know nothing.
I guess I can go next on my movie.
Yeah, go for it, man.
So, my next movie, which actually happens to be my favorite horror Christmas movie.
Okay.
Is Silent Night, Deadly Night. Oh, yeah. 1984. And for me, started with going through like a Hollywood Video or whatnot, or even before that.
Yep.
Before that, going through a movie section and seeing the cover of it. And you got Santa Claus with an axe and stuff like that. And me just looking at it going, Santa Claus is about to kill somebody? Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
who does that?
You know, exactly. So, didn't get to watch it. My parents weren't going to go rent it for me, you know. Also, but once you get old enough where you can get your movie. Mm-hmm.
Or you got some buddy's older brother.
Yeah. Like you're at the 7-Eleven shoulder tapping to get some beer from somebody.
I hope your parents are listening to this.
No idea.
She probably wouldn't. She'd be proud.
She would undermine her authority.
She'd be proud.
So this movie is a classic for me. As soon as I watched it, loved it. I revisit it every now. I don't watch it every year, but I will revisit it every now and then. And just watching it a couple of times now, the last couple of weeks, just to refresh myself on it, just brings me back to all the memories. Why? I mean, it's definitely one of those movies. It's not going to floor you, but and it's really cheesy in certain parts and things are fun. But I just love the whole story of it. I mean, basically what it is there's a child, his name's Billy. Him and his parents go visit their grandpa that's in like some mental facility or whatever like that. And so grandpa's pretending to be like comatose, catatonic, whatever, in his wheelchair. The parents leave and all of a sudden he just spries up and is talking to him and he's like, what's going on? And he proceeds to tell him, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Before that, you see this Rena Santa. He's at a convenience store buying some. Yeah, Santa can be everywhere all the time. Billy sees this stuff. They're like, oh, what's going on here? They want to pull over. He's like, no, don't pull over. Basically, he's like, no, Santa's bad. He's evil. Grandpa. And they're like, Grandpa can't. His gun, you know, whatever. She's fighting. Obviously, shirt ripped open. He's about to do his business. Billy's watching in there. Getting traumatized. He's working at a grocery store, department store, something, whatever. You know. He's got a job, basically. He's okay. He's moving on up. He's got this thing for... they're getting on in a pool table or whatever, but it's Linnea Quigley, which is one of the best scream queens ever. So she's there. She's got her Quigleys out, you know, doing her Quigleys. Seriously. She is. In all her Quigley goodness, she's doing her shit. And, you know, obviously, you know, he makes his way back to the
orphanage. This episode brought to you by way too much beer.
Back to the orphanage to finish the job.
All
right. And
because he views the nuns as being naughty.
Exactly. And he wants his revenge on
the journey.
But
that was a journey.
You know, great movie. Nicely
done.
Here's an interesting thing about that film, and it is obviously a cult classic, but what's so cool about it was that it was received very poorly.
It was.
There were demonstrations, there were all sorts of activist groups.
Considered a banned movie?
It was a video nasty, I think. It was a video nasty for a while. Yes.
Well, it's funny because now you watch it and you're just kind of like,
over the years, then.
This is a goofy ass, you know, 80s movie about Killer Santa and you don't really care. But at the time, it was earth shattering because it messed with the holiday in such a way that it was identifiable by children that, hey, wait. This is the thing I'm supposed to like, and it's really screwed up.
That's what's so beautiful about the 80s, man. It had the decade of a chance of being able to do so many things new. So many new genres you've never seen done that way before. Late 70s, early
80s. Yeah.
Grace poured us something during that marathon.
I'm drinking away.
This is your beer one. Slayer.
Oh, okay. So this is Ninkasi Slayer. Ninkasi is based out of Eugene, Oregon. Obviously, this beer comes in at, I think, 7.2%. Mm-hmm. It's what they call an alt beer or whatever. But sure.
Another dark alt beer.
Yes, exactly. But for me, Ninkasi Slayer was probably one of the first winter or Christmas, Christmas beers I ever bought when I worked for World Market.
Sure.
I'm sitting there working there, and I see a beer called Ninkasi Slayer. And it's Santa. At the time, the label had Santa on it with his sled and dragon. I'm like, I want that beer. So I bought it, and it was actually really good. So what ties it in for me personally is every year when it's Christmas time, I drink this beer while I'm watching National Lampoon's European Vacation or Christmas Vacation. It's what I watch with this beer. And I don't know why, but I have to have it while I'm watching.
And they changed the label. So it always is very Santa and very Christmassy and all that.
Yeah, this one's just a sled now. A sled
burning.
Yeah.
A sled burning.
I dig that. A lot of companies are doing that now. Sure. Jubilee, of course, you know, does that with local artists.
Jubilee actually gets a different artist every year to actually do their labeling.
Yeah, which is super cool. Local artists, too, from what I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Ninkasi was established in 2006 out in Eugene by a couple of guys, Jamie Floyd and Nikos.
Nico Suave
or something like that. And they named their brewery after the. They're after a. goddess of beer fermentation, a Sumerian goddess fermentation.
Sumerian.
And like so that's why they named their company after, Ninkasi. It's
pretty sweet.
But I've been there a couple times. It's a beautiful place to go and hang out and drink a few beers. They've got some other solid beers they do. Like, I believe Total Domination was the first beer they ever made, which was a solid solid IPA, and that was actually probably one of the first beers that were marked when I worked there that I bought also, besides
Slayer. One of the first really local, aggressively hoppy IPAs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is Ninkasi the one that does Triceratops?
Triceratops.
I remember Triceratops was at the Horse Brass, and they had a bunch of guest stuff, and they had Alice Cooper's brown ale. It was called Lumpy Gravy.
Oh,
it was amazing.
I don't even know where to start on that.
I don't either.
I didn't know Alice Cooper had a beer,
yes.
And B, I didn't know that he named it so poorly.
Huh. No, it was just fucking brilliant, man. Are you kidding me? And then alongside of it, Eric had the Ninkasi Triceratops, and we hadn't seen anything like that at the time. And it was actually amazing. It was, off tap.
Yeah, Triceratops was one of the first just super hop forward.
Yeah.
Well, it's the higher ABV one.
That was one of the first ones I had that was kind of mass produced. And
Ninkasi baby stuff a lot of people into craft beer and really got people after that hop.
What was
bitterness.
The Believer?
It's Believer.
Is that
what it's called? Believer?
Yeah, they do love a red.
The Believer. Yeah. Oh, Dawn of the Red they do, which is a great red beer, red ale.
I'm sure we'll feature that one time here.
I'm sure.
They do.
Summer Rain they do, Made in the Shade. I mean, there's a lot of beers that they do. You find all over the area.
Full-on shot yeast into space. Yeah. And made a beer.
ground control, which you love. Yes,
and they right up my alley and perhaps Lee's alley here, they do... Critical Hit or Critical
Critical Hit. It's Barley Wayne.
Yeah, it is Barley Wayne. But what I love about it is it features a D20 on the front.
Nice. Yeah, harking back to the old days of D&D.
Days. We're all like, it's like a year ago.
Whatever, Matt.
I know what the beer is.
Hey, I have the original chainmail pamphlets from 1977.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I had the red box, so I had that.
My mom bought
the out of this conversation. So.
Yeah, I like beer.
This is nerd business.
Nerdville.
This is major.
It's a new podcast.
Whole different podcast we get on, right?
Right after the dungeon.
Rad, porn. I really enjoyed that. I mean, I've had Slayer before.
It's tasty beer.
It really is. It's just a solid addition to your season, I think. Yeah. Super good.
Okay, so there may be better beers you like for the Christmas season. But for me, it's...
It pairs it's, well with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
For me, it's just a it's a thing that I will always remember. Right. You know?
Schmammered like
my... Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So who wants to talk about another movie we pour some
more movies? Yeah, we should rock out some more movies.
Yeah. So this one here was the Christmas present, the unknown Christmas present that I talked about earlier.
Okay.
Christmas Cruelty is the name of the film.
What?
It's Norwegian. Or Norway, sorry.
You literally just Googled like weird Christmas shit.
I did because I wanted to. Yeah, I wanted to. I couldn't obviously.
Heard of any of the ones Leanne.
Well, see, and that's the thing is that Juan and I go, we go very repetitively through our seasonal stuff. You know, every single St. Patty's Day we watch Leprechaun movies. Every Friday the 13th we watch all the Friday's
whenever
movies.
The hell I feel like.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. we are very stuck in our ways. So when we talk about our favorites and things like that, like literally these are things that we've watched year after year.
Oh, yeah,
after year.
I could have named
so I like this favorites. That Lee's bringing to the table. Some no, things. It's great. And he's like, hey, I went exploring in the genre and this is what I found because I've already written down some things that I got to go find.
Yeah, so this was a surprise. It's like I said, you know, I bought myself a couple presents that I knew of in the form of scent, but then I have some presents that I don't know about, and I open them up, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a lump of coal, or it's going to be, you know,
yeah,
a Roomba, which
sucks.
I personally actually want a Roomba.
I want that.
No, there's only two things you can do at my house. Sweep up pine needles all the time, because I've got Douglas firs everywhere, or brew beer out of the pine needles. So I need a Roomba to keep it clean. But Christmas Cruelty is 2013, and I don't know, wow, what can I say? It's pretty much simply what it says.
Okay.
It follows a Santa-clad serial killer and his victims for no other reason than it's a Santa-clad serial killer.
Fair enough. So no backstory, no, like, this is why? Or...
So it does throw that in your face. It's like, here's a whole bunch of murder happening. Brutal murder. We want to know the whys and the hows? Because it's brutal murder. Yeah. That's it. They don't explain it. They're like, tough fucking luck.
I like it.
But what's impressive about it is it actually has some very decent and intelligent dialogue. You really actually start caring about the characters. All of the characters are unknown actors.
Okay.
So you never know what's going to happen.
Which is best, always.
Yes, it all unknown actors. It plays really well to not knowing what's going to happen because there's no clear hero. You know, you don't know who's going to survive. So that's very cool. But they get you involved with the characters. The dialogue is really good. Character development really good. Not at all what you would expect in a movie where the brutality and the gore is so kind of over the top that you wouldn't expect this kind of depth.
Okay.
I mean, at the beginning, they let you know what's going to happen because, wow, this is a tough one. It involves a baby and it involves a chainsaw.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. So
as all you know, yeah, good things do.
That what just were kinda, saying about Christmases for kids.
Christmases for kids. Yeah, but the thing about it is, this movie
we're not really good at this.
One of the directors, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, Per Ingvar Tomren, something like that.
I think that's exactly right.
Yes, there is a group of them that are like really kind of well known, and Rare Exports is also in that circle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, what's really impresses me
I actually haven't heard of Christmas Cruelty, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
No, I've heard of, you know, Scent. I've heard of Ginger Dead.
Well, Scent is also in that sort of trifecta.
Sure, but I haven't heard of that one, so that's awesome.
I think what I came away from all of this is that I was very impressed with there are so many people that when they think of Christmas, they think of horror movies. And they're doing it. That list you showed us just a little bit ago, sort of off camera, it was huge. But this movie is brutal, man. It pulls no punches. There's plenty of no shit moments.
Now, is this a modern day Santa or is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. All right.
It literally is a Santa serial killer.
Coca-Cola Santa.
What year was it?
2013.
Okay. Huh.
It's got impressive dialogue, right, which I mentioned earlier, which is strange in movies that often it's very weak in. But it's great simply because if you, like I said earlier, you ask the how or the why, you get a fuck off, too bad. I'm not going to tell you the how or the why other than there's an evil Santa simply because there is.
Sure. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie's Halloween. we don't care why. No. We don't give a shit why. And if you tell us why, it might suck. Rob Zombie's Halloween. So, yeah, I understand that completely.
I will tell you, though, that the brutality comes later in the movie. But I think it's good because, like I said, you really actually start going, wow, this is great dialogue. These people, you know, I can buy into. But when it does come, man, it's fucking hammer bludgeoning. It's stabbing certain areas that you shouldn't stab. It's decapitation, mm-hmm. severed limbs, chainsaws.
Is that yes. forearms that you shouldn't stab?
Well,
forearms.
For right? something. Skin.
Whoa.
See, too far. Yeah, you stab away.
Ouch.
That hurts.
And fucking lots of blood. It's all fucking practical. So it is brilliant.
Nice.
They even do this cool little sort of golden hue throughout the movie that sort of lends this little Christmassy spirit to it. It's got some humor to it, too, which is fucking bang on. And they take the killer out of the cereal, put him back in his home with his family, too. And you're like, oh, he's a human being. So, lot of really cool elements to it.
Nice.
Yeah, good. totally go check it out. It's a gem. It's 8 snowballs out of 10, even. Huh. Yeah.
8 snowballs. You just
fucking made that up.
No, I did. I have a feeling I had that written down somewhere.
Yeah, we did.
What? No, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I wrote it down and I made it up.
Hey, we're drinking my Christmas beer.
What are we drinking, Grace? Aaron, what are we drinking here?
We are drinking 3 Magnets.
Wreathing
Havoc. Thank you.
Which is one of the greatest labels of all time.
It is.
It really is.
It makes me happy. It's very Tim Burton-y.
It is very, like, Haunted Mansion slash Nightmare Before Christmas makeover.
All the beautiful things in life.
For sure. So, this is from 3 Magnets. They're rather new, actually, on the whole scene. They opened in 2014. We actually discovered them by accident in 2015, not long after they opened.
Yeah.
Because we were going to, this is in Olympia, Washington, and we were doing a Washington beer trip for like 3 days going around. We hit what, like 19 different breweries in 3 days or something. So was this stop one?
It was because we were going to Fishtail and we pulled off to get gas or something like that. And I saw what looked like a brewery. I was like, what's 3 Magnets? It looks like a brewery. And you're like,
we literally just park on the street.
Let's go park and check it out.
And it was. Lock the doors and look up and there's a brewery and it happened to be 3 Magnets.
That's when I discovered when there was a lot wrong with you guys.
Right? But also
a lot right.
Yeah.
Lee, you've had fun with us on our many adventures. Come on now.
So, great brewery. They do a lot of really fun and very interesting things, I'll say, with their beers, all of which are at least enjoyable, if not impressive. Pat Jansen was their head brewer for quite some time, and he has now gone on to open Matchless.
Which I love. Brewing, I love Matchless.
Which I also love, exactly. Oh, yeah. But 3 Magnets has not slowed down.
Nope,
they really make a bit good beer. Since his leaving.
All kinds of crazy new stuff.
Wreathing Havoc is a winter imperial red rye ale. So imperial red with some rye thrown in there. It has a little bit of holiday spicing, but it's so subtle, just biscuity, malty, slightly toasted notes. There's a little bit of cherry in there, a little cherry sweetness, creamy. I don't know. It's just so good. And I'm a sucker for a red anyways. I'm a sucker for a rye beer. And then you do all that, you add a little spices, and you kick it up to the imperial notch.
I was gonna say, yeah, this one and rocks in at 9.4.
So. I'm all over it. Yeah, so this one I absolutely love. Every year it seems to change a little bit in its flavor, but never in how much I enjoy it. It's just really good. It was so one of my solid.
Favorites last year too.
Totally. Yeah, I remember when I picked this one out, you were like, oh, bummer, I totally love that beer.
It will still be my 25
And they're actually canning it now. Before, you can only get it in bottles.
Yeah, they have recently started doing canning And for a while they were just slapping stickers on the cans, but I just realized that they actually have like the screen printed label now. Yeah.
So that is a sweet label.
Yeah, very cool. It's basically an angry wreath with sharp, gnashy teeth. And where is that from? Gnashy teeth. Oh, that's gnashy teeth. The rabbit. From
Monty Python.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Holy Grail.
Yes.
It's a big gnashy teeth.
It's a wreath. It's going to bite you. It's got a Santa head on. It's really, really it's like cool. A little bit, yeah. Super, super good beer. It says Christmas for me because it's festive on the palate. I like it a lot. So that's my pick. Magnets, Olympia, Washington. Check them out. Yeah, they're also, you know, not hugely distributed right now, but in the Northwest, you should be able to find them.
In Oregon, you can find a lot of it in a lot of places. Yeah,
they're getting there.
Well, who's up next?
You want to do your next movie?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll do my last movie. So, my third film that I picked that I just have to watch, and this one probably is the most tried and true for me in the sense that I've been watching this one every Christmas for, gosh, decades, honestly. Now,
what is this?
This one has the most pull, I guess you would say, as far as quality goes and its impact on the genre. It is Canadian. It's a psychological slasher film. It's from the same year I was born in, so it's
old.
Old as hell, yeah. 1974. Mm-hmm. Has Margot Kidder in it, is Superman's lady. Yeah, and she plays a bitchy, slutty college sorority girl. So awesome. Her character is so rad. This is Black Christmas. But this follows a group of sorority sisters, and their little sorority house at Christmas time starts getting calls from some weird pervert. And when I say weird pervert, you know, people are going to think like, ooh, I saw something like that on CSI, or I saw something like that on, you know, whatever. This is a weird fucking pervert. Like the stuff they recorded on these calls, the stuff was so bad. It was banned in a lot of countries. They edited words out. They actually redubbed whole calls because the stuff that this guy is saying when he calls these people in 1974 was not acceptable.
No, you could only find that kind of verbiage in movies by Ron Jeremy.
Oh my goodness, yeah, and even then, they probably blushed a little bit. Yeah. I mean, this is gnarly stuff that this guy's calling and saying, and extremely upsetting and off-putting, especially for audiences of that time. The basic vibe of this is that it was based off a series of murders that actually did take place in Montreal, up in Canada. But it was also kind of based off of the urban legend of the girl at home and someone's calling you
from inside the
house. Yeah. And I think we can go there. I mean, this is an old enough movie that if you haven't seen it by now, sorry, but yeah.
Yeah.
And this predates even When a Stranger Calls, which is, I think, the film that people hold as the one that started that whole, he's inside the house. He's calling you from the house.
In this movie, you predates. Can see that you could see Scream taking from it too. Cause there's a killer, you know, color in the house and whatnot, so
a lot of people say that this is, I've heard it before, people say this is the first slasher. Now that's not correct, because we had a couple before this. I'm trying to think of actually which ones I was thinking of, but there was three or four films that you would Peeping Tom was one. Actually, Peeping Tom might be the very first kind of slasher I can think of, and definitely the first slasher that showed killer POV, which is, you know, kind of become part of the slasher film genre since then. But this is like a film that this inspired John Carpenter's Halloween. Mm-hmm. He looked to this film for the mood, the angles, the camera work, the showing
the POV
parts of the house where the killer is not mm-hmm. in instead of where the killer is in, things like that. A lot of that, of course, came from Hitchcock for Carpenter, but a lot of it also came from this film here. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think, was just before this. Mm-hmm. So if you call that a slasher, that would definitely be considered. But Bay of Blood is another one that was before this one. And then some people say Psycho is a slasher, but I don't really think so. I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
You think the shower scene? You think the basement
totally
scene?
A
you
think
the slasher? It kind of is.
Slasher
but
to me is more of like a multiple killing.
To me, a slasher.
It's the impetus.
To me, Alfred Hitchcock, no matter what he's doing, rises above a slasher. And that's the only reason exactly. I don't think of Psycho as a slasher is it was more.
I have Hitchcock on a pedestal.
It was even more artfully he'll crafted
never be able
than.
To knock him off for me.
Than not like trying. This one was.
Just saying.
But basically, sorority house terrorized by a guy that's calling them. We are treated to see several sorority people murdered inside the house. There are things happening outside the house that has law enforcement very busy. It's a whodunit.
Now, was this before Superman?
Yes,
because the original Superman came out late 70s,
early
80s.
I want to say it was about 4 years before.
Wow.
At least.
So that's a shocker.
Yeah. So this was kind of Margot Kidder's, I guess. She had been in three or four things before this, a couple television movies, a couple other movies, but it was kind of her kickstart into at least being Hollywood viable. Now, that being said, Black Christmas was a flop.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was too upsetting. Right. As a lot of the movies that we'll probably talk about were when they first came out.
But it did spawn a flops. Remake, you know.
But cult-wise, it got a huge following. It has since been put on a pedestal. People have realized just how it inspired the films that come after it. It actually turns out it was Elvis's favorite horror movie.
I didn't know that.
And
Hail to the King, baby.
Yeah, so his tradition was to watch it on every Christmas, much as mine. And his family, actually, Elvis's surviving family members, watch this on Christmas every year in his honor, which I think is pretty it's effing pretty sweet.
Cool. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
That seems actually kind of fucked up.
It was released in the States as Silent Night, Evil Night, because they felt the title Black Christmas would lead people to think it was a blaxploitation film, which were much more in popular culture at that time. But yeah, just so informative and shaping of the genre that would come after it. I mean, probably, you know, 9 out of 10 of my favorite horror films were in some way a trickle down.
Did you ever see the remake?
Oh, the remake is absolute
dog shit.
I
never watched it.
It's absolute fucking garbage dog shit.
Yeah, this one was one that I was actually going to do tonight, too.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you simply must. And if you have seen it, man, it's probably part of your tradition. Yeah.
What else do we got on the genre here, or on the, you know, docket?
Well, I think we have more people to talk about, a couple more films, and we have some more beers for sure.
I'll talk about a film real quick.
Do it.
And be your last one?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So my film is about this stalker type guy.
Juan.
He's watching a village, and he's waiting for his right time to move in and destroy their happiness. And this guy's creepy. This guy has got the blackest of souls that you can imagine. And in the end, when he goes down on Christmas Eve night to destroy everything that they stand for.
Are you going to pull some fucking Grinch on me? Because there's a cat on the table and I'll throw it at you.
Yeah, Spooky, come here.
I'd like to introduce you to How the Grinch Stole Christmas. No.
Corkscrew right here. Yeah.
That is my present to you guys. No, that was purely improv just now because Juan actually picked my movie, which was the Christmas Horror Story.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, fuck with these guys.
Fine. We knew there was going to be overlap.
We can like the same movies. No. Yeah.
So I totally wanted to fuck with you. I was like, what can I use that is Charlie Brown-esque? But no, so yeah. So we can just move on. Me and Juan had shared the same thoughts on the horror Christmas Horror Story. Fucking brilliant. A lot of fun. So, what are we drinking?
This is yours.
Oh, this is mine? Yay! Here's why I don't know.
Your Christmas holiday beer.
No, here's why I don't know. Because one, I didn't see you pour it. And two, this was also the unknown present to myself.
Really?
I haven't ever tasted this beer until tonight.
What? Yeah, are you shitting me? Yep. I drink this every year.
Yep, I know.
And I used to buy like,
I have
the
magnum of it.
Giant
I used to
buy
I the magnums of it. Yeah. Right now.
I saw
thank
it.
Thank you
and
for
I was
not buying the 1.5 liter, because dear God, we'd
oh,
be
I know,
on the floor.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's coming.
I'm pretty buzzy. Anyway.
So what we have here is Anchor Brewing, our special ale. It is something they do every year. Mm-hmm. It's an annual beer between November and January as when you can get it. And they've started this since 1975. So it's got 43 years of an annual release behind it.
That's just absurd. I mean, think about that in the scene of brewing as a whole, let alone, you know, craft brewing.
Yeah, the staying power is...
Four plus decades.
Even to the point where it goes back into some...
Yeah. Can't mess with Anchor.
New.
They invented a style.
Oh, yeah. So Anchor released the first holiday beer since Prohibition.
Yep.
That's how far back we go. Yep. It is, it's one of those beers that they do a new label each year.
New Christmas tree on there. Super cool.
Yep. This one here is the 2017.
Yeah. That's how I started buying it. Just like, hey, I'm going to have a Christmas party. I'm going to buy a Magnum.
It says Merry Christmas, Happy New Year on it. It's delightful. Yeah.
Yep, they do a new Ancient Christmas Tree ale every year. Basically, it is, I mean, it's a strong malt-driven beer.
Are you sure? Have you presented
Well, okay, yourself? So this is just what I'm reading. So present I'm going to see if it lives up.
Drink it and talk about the beer. All right. Read your notes.
All right, here we go.
Nut up, princess. It also ages
Merry
really
Christmas,
well.
Happy New Year.
Lee, would the Grinch love this beer?
You know what, the Grinch? This would warm his heart. It would make his heart three times
the size. Yes. Goddamn. You're damn right it would.
Yes, it would.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not disappointed, guys.
You know what? You could pair this with the roast beast, and it would be very good.
Yes. And some what's-a-ma-jiggers and some hoosie-watsits.
Put your judging eyes away.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic. Nice. They say cocoa... Toffee, nuts, spice. Toffee,
for sure. Nuts,
a lot of toffee, a lot of nuts. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking Merry Christmas to me,
nuts
man.
In my mouth with this one.
But he likes it.
They're on your chin, too.
So I've got a holiday joke. What do you call.
Oh, no.
What do you call nuts on a wall?
Walnuts?
Walnuts, right. What do you call nuts on a chest?
Chestnuts.
Chestnuts. What do you call nuts on your chin?
Chin nuts.
A blowjob. But a bum.
That's pretty good.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Okay, guys. So that's my beer. I'm done.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So what do you think of it, though? I mean, this is your first time having it. What are you really
thinking? I am not disappointed whatsoever. I feel if there was any way to do it, I would start going backwards and start finding older.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
Well, this one, I'm surprised you've never had it.
That's the beer gremlin.
Because this is always a Christmas time beer that you have to have. Like, at least for me, too.
I think last year was the first year I didn't have this because, again, at World Market when
we were buying beer. I'll grab a mag at work and we can crack a Magnum later on.
I'll keep an eye out this for at the Winter Beer Ale Fest. I don't know if they'll have it. But
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
No. It's not there.
Unlike the Abyss, which you can find many years past.
But it is good. Very Anchor good. Anchor is another one of those that's going to have distribution a little more farm-wide than the rest of ours. So, you can find this one. And it is the perfect beer to bring to a party, a holiday party, a New Year, something like that. The label is so festive. And
it's super like approachable. I mean, it's a winter beer. It's big and boozy and beasty, but it's not aggressive.
No, it's not. In fact, it's gone is what it is.
It's malty. It's got a little spice. It's easy. It's not something that you have to... It's a crowd pleaser.
All right. We've had my beers. We've had my movies.
Who else is going to do the last movie?
Last movie we're not going to talk about because it was Krampus.
Sweet.
We'll get through that real quick.
Hold on. There is a Krampus Unleashed.
No, different movie.
Well, you know what? There's also a movie out now called Mother Krampus.
What?
Yes. Go. It's on... Amazon Prime, I think, and it's
Mother Krampus.
It's called Mother Krampus. Yes.
Yeah, no, I heard Krampus Unleashed is crap.
I watch a lot of crap, though.
It absolutely
not
is,
to be confused with the octopus shark versus Krampus.
What?
Don't tease me. There is no such thing. Octopus shark. It is sharktopus.
It's Krampus.
It's a mega shark versus
Krampus? Mother Krampus. Oh my god, that would be mic drop. I would lose my shit.
Mega octopus Krampus shark.
Mega Krampus octopus shark. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it is.
I guess that just leaves my last movie.
Which wins?
It is the greatest Christmas movie. Christmas horror movie.
Oh, so it's not going to be Die
Hard? Ever. It's not going to be what?
Die Hard.
That's not a Christmas horror movie. That's a Christmas movie.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Please shut your whore mouth.
Shut your whore mouth. It is an action movie that takes place during Christmas.
But it's Christmas. Greatest Christmas horror movie ever made.
Kiss us.
1984. Okay. Produced by Steven Spielberg.
Scrooge.
Fucking Gremlins.
Nope. Gremlins.
Dun, 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 the beer gremlin. The beer gremlin picks gremlins.
That's
a circle of life.
It is a circle of life. I love Gremlins. Everything about it. It's shenanigans. It's ridiculous. But there's some cool things. So, I mean, everybody at this point, I'm pretty sure, knows the rules. And kind of. So, basically, the premise of the movie, if you haven't seen Gremlins, first of all, what the fucking rock are you on?
Right. Under? Get out from underneath it. Phoebe Cates' boobs at the poolside.
Ask Gremlins 2. That's Fast Times, but she's in Gremlins 2.
So, Gremlins, this guy who invents weird shit, goes to Chinatown trying to find his son something cool for Christmas.
Sure.
And he tries to buy a mogwai.
Yeah.
A mogwai, you say?
And the man in Chinatown said, no, you're not ready for that. There are rules. You're not going to follow them. Piss off.
And he was right.
Piss off.
He was very, very right. Well, his dumb shit little grandson's like, meh, I'll sell you anyway. I like $200. So he's like, no bright lights.
Wait, what did he do?
No water.
What was that? What did he do?
Yes, Aaron. Yes.
He sold a mogwai.
Oh, yeah.
Don't feed him after midnight. Whatever, here you go. Here's this.
He also sold him a smokeless ashtray.
Yes, you did.
It ended up being called Gizmo. But, yeah, when you give that to a teenage boy, he's a dipshit. They don't follow rules.
What? No, so do you have the rules listed by Phoebe there? Cates' beauty.
He's a dipshit. Didn't follow the rules. Fucked everything up.
That's pretty
Gremlins
much true.
Everywhere, jacking up the whole small town on Christmas Eve. They're blowing shit up. They're eating shit. They're messing with everything. They're breaking the movie theater. Mm-hmm. They're little shits. They're delightful. I love them.
And I think this is the first time that we've got to see them incarnated in this way, because outside of Bugs Bunny and the Gremlins cartoon from Looney Tunes or William Shatner's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the airplane.
Twilight Zone airplane one.
Yep.
Yeah. That was This was it. This was live and in your face, man.
And this was a cool movie.
And Gremlins, I mean, if you go back far enough, Gremlins was just a way to describe the kinks in any system. The kinks in your car, the kinks in your electronic system, whatever. Yeah, it's got Gremlins in it.
They were really the reason for everything fucking up.
Yeah.
They're little shits. I love them.
Stripe was an asshole.
Some cool things. Stripe was a dick. Oh my god. I love him for it, though. So some fun facts, because I figure most people have seen Gremlins. They know the gist. Unlike all the other shit shows of movies that we've been discussing today. Well, except for maybe Krampus. This one did not tank in the box office. This shit made $12.5 million in the first weekend.
In 84?
In 84.
Which is
pretty good.
An $11 million budget made $12.5 million in the first weekend.
That's fucking boats and hoes, man.
It grossed over $148 million. That's insane. Prestige, I didn't even know that. I looked up that. Holy crap.
That's pretty crazy.
Also, fun fact. Do you know Howie Mandel was in that? Because he's definitely the voice of Gizmo.
Really?
Didn't know that.
Oh. Did not know that. Obviously. Really?
Howie.
Deal or no deal?
Also, Frank Weller? Welker?
Well, yes. He's famous, man.
He was Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Was freaking Stripe.
He's done so many voiceovers.
What a dick.
I was so excited about the voices. Also, a lot of the other voices, friggin' Michael Winslow. Police Academy. Sound effect guy.
Yeah.
He did a ton of the voices and sounds and weird shit that the Gremlins did.
Wow.
The other thing that was cool about it was there's zero CGI at this point.
Spaceballs.
These are all full-on animatronic puppets that they use. These are like Muppets on steroids. And they were so much of the budget for this entire film that they were paranoid. So they had security guards that would search the trunks and entire cars of all the people involved in the film every time they would leave the set. Because they were so worried. If they lost one of those animatronics, if somebody else saw it, they could steal it, they could replicate it.
Wow.
Like, it was super covert secret operations, which I thought was really cool, and I had no idea, because I didn't really think about that.
I didn't either.
Because now everything's just computer files. Yeah, but at that point, these were actual things.
You make
things.
50 of them, yeah.
Yeah, these are actual things. And if somebody else got to that before you did in that technology, like if you watch that movie now, it still holds up. These are crazy, cool, creepy little shits.
Yeah.
But there were 25 puppeteers
per
running
each?
Those stupid... No.
There was 25
guys
puppeteers.
Running strike. No. There were 25 puppeteers on staff that were controlling the various gremlins.
Wow.
So
now, did you say this? Was this Henson?
No.
I don't think so.
Jim Henson? No, I said it was Muppets on steroids. So.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's not Henson.
Yeah, so was Meet Worthy. The Feebles, but that was
yes.
also...
Oh, that's, no, Worthy that was also of more than that. Yeah. Of course.
But if you have not seen
Muppets
gremlins,
on meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Muppets on...
Muppets on acid.
Heroin, crank,
depravity.
Meth. Yeah. All sorts of stuff.
But yeah, no, Gremlins is my happy Christmas movie. If you haven't seen Gremlins, freaking go watch Gremlins. What is wrong with you?
Oh, shit, go revisit it. I haven't seen it
but
in
years. But if you haven't watched it in a while, watch it again, because it's delightful.
And you can watch the gremlin drink the beer.
And you can
the
think
beer
about
gremlin. Right
you
from
can
the,
see the
right
beer
from
gremlin
the tap
drinks it right from the
with
tap.
His little beer belly going. Yeah. I mean, come on now.
It's pretty good.
So, Gremlins wins. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Nice. Yes.
Pretty awesome round table of movies there.
I think
and
so.
And beers.
Yeah, there's got to be something, though. There's got to be some honorable mentions. There's got to be some things that
oh, how
might
long
not
do you
have
want this to go? You bet.
Well, I've got one. My honorable mention, so something that I just think people should search out, I guess you'd say, is Tales from the Crypt. It's in season 1, episode 2. I mean, right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
And All Through the House mm-hmm. is the name of this. Robert Zemeckis directed this. He, of course, is responsible for Back to the Future trilogy. So that's awesome enough right there. Larry Drake, who might not be a household name, but is a household face, I assure you, stars as an escaped mental patient dressed up as Santa Claus who happens to terrorize a home where a wife has just killed her husband so that she can inherit his insurance.
See in Darkman?
And he is in Darkman. He's Durant.
Yes, Durant. Yep.
From Darkman. Mm-hmm. But more than that, he will always and forever be near and dear to my heart as Dr. Giggles.
Yep.
And in this one, he plays a crazy, mentally insane, deranged, axe murderer Santa. It's super cool. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube if you really want to. Tales from the Crypt just was released as an entire box set of all 8 or 9 seasons. So you can check it out that way on Amazon. It's pretty affordable. But regardless, that's one of mine. It's not a film. It's, I think, 20 minutes long, 21. But it's fun. It's a cool watch. It has horror icons, a great director, and it's pretty cool. Check it out.
Nice. All right. I wish I had an honorable mention. I don't. Except for maybe Bad Santa.
You have an honorable beer.
But I have an honorable beer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, I was turned on to this by Aaron, actually.
What?
So I kind of want him to talk a little bit about this. This is Fort George's Magnanimous IPA.
Lee,
and,
did you come
right,
to the good side?
He brought an IPA. Look at that.
Lee.
That's stunning for me. So that's my Christmas present to you guys. Even though Grace would disagree that this is an IPA, I haven't tasted it yet. I understand that it's
fantastic.
It's still fantastic.
And the story behind it is amazing.
Yeah, most likely, for sure. Fort George is my favorite brewery.
It's one of my tops, for sure.
All around, they make the most solid representation of every style for me. So no matter what they make, I'm going to enjoy it. They make so many different beers and great varietals of my favorites they're constantly putting out.
Well, and but, the fact that they do the three-way IPA every year, which
sure.
other breweries want to be a part of that because
oh, yeah.
they take three breweries and they brew this beer in this different styles. It's not always just a regular IPA. This year they did a hazy IPA, kind of mm-hmm. doing a style. But
yeah, because this is a joint effort from Fort George and
no,
Earth
is,
Sky.
Well, this,
Earth and Sky
this
Farm
kinda
is,
yeah. is so,
Tim Ensign's
yeah.
farm. Yeah,
Tim is
and Jana, yes.
is Portland's Fort George, or the Portland area, I should say, Fort George rep. And his family has had a farm. It's called the Earth and Sky Farm. And they have Christmas trees. And so every year, September, I believe.
Yeah, he has a little party out there.
They have a little party, and people show up, and people that know him pick the spruce tips. And the fir tips off of these trees and send them off to the coast in Astoria to Fort George, and they brew this particular IPA using those fresh tips as the bittering agent.
Yes, exactly.
And I guess so, it's only available October through December type of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty limited run just because, you know, there's only so many of those tips that they make, and they can only make so many batches out of them. But the fact that it's right here, his joint right down in Oregon City, the fact that it's a bunch of beer fans and beer lovers showing up, drinking some beers, hanging out, having a good time, socializing, mingling, and literally just pulling the tips off of things and throwing them in bags and stuff.
I gotta tell you, just cracking that open, this thing's about a foot and a half away from me.
Yeah.
Woo! It's freaking grand fir needles, man, everywhere.
It's an outstanding experience.
Hundreds of pounds of fir tips.
I really enjoy a beer that replaces hops with other bittering agents.
But I understand they do use some Simcoe and
Chenin hops. Yes, yes. This beer for me, I will always remember the first time I ever had this beer, and it was at the Growler Run in Oregon City. Got the beer, and I was kind of reading the description underneath it, and I was like, okay, let me try it, and I was blown away. So I went on – actually, I went online, Googled it, you know, got some research on it, and realized what, like you were saying, it was made out of, and it was phenomenal. Then realizing that Tim, who I knew, was directly involved with making this beer, made it even more special, which is why whenever I see it now, I'll always get it just because it's – a phenomenal beer, but also just the fact that, you know, somebody that just puts their heart and soul into it and has a part stake in this beer, you want to support that.
I think I may have mentioned once or twice about my opinions about IPAs, but I got to tell you right now.
What are you talking about?
What are your opinions about IPAs, Lee?
I have tasted this right now, and I will tell you right now, this is no palate jack. This is far better. This is actually quite good.
It's super good.
Oh, it's very good.
I am not arguing with you that Magnanus is delicious, but did you just slander Palate Jack?
He doesn't like
get the fuck outside.
Excessive hops.
Yeah. It's not for me, but this is.
Yeah.
Well, he likes Don Vinucci, like though. He likes Don Vinucci.
This is a Feliz Navidad right up in my face.
Yep.
This is what makes you want to have
we're multicultural.
Christmas trees and...
It is
really, I'm almost sorry I shared with you guys. This was quite good. Check it out, man. Fort George, check it out, guys.
Magnanimous. The other thing I love about Fort George is just the location out in Astoria.
Astoria's a beautiful place.
Yeah. They're doing a little remodeling right now, adding some patio and stuff to the upper levels. But
apparently, Festival of Dark Arts is already on sale.
Yeah, I can't go this year. I work
weekends. Yeah, we went last year. That was entertaining, but...
But I hear this year is going to be phenomenal.
Mm. It kind of makes me want to go just to see the differences then.
I still have never been, so we might have to go this year.
I would love to go again, but I just can't get the time off this year. I've already tried. So
anyway, I'm glad you turned me on to this, Aaron. Thanks.
For sure. And
so we found an IPA that you will drink. That's not our cask. Because you have drank...
Oh, I'll drink plenty of IPAs on
you
cask.
Have, okay, you love cask because you like your warm IPAs.
It mellows it out. It just does.
It mutes the hops. Yeah.
Or it brings out the true design of the
beer. Anybody else have anything they want to throw in as an honorable mention of any kind? Yeah.
I know, mine was that little tree killing video, but I couldn't remember what the hell it was.
Tree
called.
Tree Venge is
glorious.
Fucking absurd and so
it's absurd,
good.
But
it's so
good.
Funny though.
Yes.
Yeah. What if all these years of chopping down Christmas trees for our own, pleasures.
Yeah.
Exactly. Came back to bite us in the end. That's some tree venge. So watch that one.
Got a couple of beers here that we haven't obviously pulled, but guys out there, check out Double Mountain, Winter Ale.
Did you actually drink that yet? I
really like it.
We just stacked this table with
Oakshire Brewing Ill Tempered Gnome.
That's a solid beer.
That's delicious.
First time I ever had that was at Old Chicago. Aaron had it, and the day or two before you went there and you're like, try this. It was really good.
I love it. Man, Oakshire, it's funny because every time we talk about an Oakshire, there's some memory I had from like a years before where I'm like, this is a damn good, just such a solid lineup. And then the other thing Lee's got sitting on the table here is last year's brewery, which I don't know how many of these we're actually going to dig through, but we're opening this.
Yeah, that's what we said. We're going to open at the beginning.
I've got both of those at home. So
the Nine Ladies Dancing.
We should end the
from the brewery.
The Plague Cast with Plague this. Cast.
Yes, we decided to rename our podcast the Plague Cast because it seems like one of us is always sick every episode.
Yeah, I got back from Kauai. I was sick.
Fuckers get me sick, I will kill you.
You were sick.
Yeah, you were sick for a while. I got some cruds going on today, but I OD'd on the cold medicine.
Nice.
Yeah,
make sure you use a bottle opener.
Well, happy holidays, everybody out there. I got to take a minute because, you know, we've thanked a lot of people. We've thanked people that have hooked us up with, you know, brewery tours or complimentary beers or just, you know, interviews or whatever it happens to be. We have a lot of people that have helped us out and kind of hooked us up. But I want to take a moment to thank you guys that are listening to us.
Thanks for putting up with our shit.
Yeah, you've been listening to these episodes and think this ridiculousness that we're putting together is awesome, thank you so much because we're having a great time doing it. We hope to continue doing it. Thank you, listeners, for sure. Subscribe. That's the number one way to hook us up and help us out. Give us a review. Give us a rating. That also helps us rise in the ladder of, I don't know, 10 billion podcasts about various things that are out there.
We can rise from 8 snowballs to 10 snowballs.
Sure.
Yeah, baby.
but even then, I don't really care if this, you know, takes off. I don't care if this gets us to the top of any charts. What I really care about is that people like what we're doing and like listening to us. So give us a comment. Shoot us something on Facebook. Tell us, you know, what you enjoyed. Tell us something you didn't enjoy. Tell us what your favorite movies are, your favorite beers. If you have a pairing, let us know.
Yeah, I'd like to do a like a listener's suggestion thing, like all indie films or all, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, let's get this going. Let's communicate a little bit. Let us know how you feel about all this kind of stuff. Thanks for hanging with us so long in this episode. It's been a lot of fun. I think we've covered a ton of stuff.
It was kind of fun.
For sure. Well, it's holidays.
It's holidays.
So Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Or happy holidays.
I just like to...
Feliz Navidad, as my people would say.
All that stuff. For sure.
You're an idiot.
Yes, that is true.
You are.
Look, no matter how harsh we get on each other, everybody out there, man, look past the surface, dig deep, find your inner light.
What is this? What is he talking about?
Philosophical. It might be the beer talking.
Are you getting sentimental?
We'll get Lee home safely,
tear?
I promise.
You will.
I'm about just poke him in his third eye. Here,
his whispering eye.
Oh, no.
And grounded again.
And that is the beauty that is this group right here.
That's right. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays. Keep listening. We'll be back to you soon.
Peace.
Blue, ha.